It's time for Twit This Week in Tech. What a great show we've got for you. Shira Lazar talks about Hollywood, the Oscars, the Grammys, and, of course, the reaction on Twitter to the death of Whitney Houston. John C. Dvorak is here. Robert Scoble, too, with his 3D camera. It's all coming up next on Twit.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Audio bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by the new Winamp for Android, featuring wireless sync and one-click iTunes import. Now with free daily music downloads and full-length CD listening parties. Download it for free at winamp.com/android. Video bandwidth for Twit is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is Twit, This Week in Tech, episode 340, recorded February 12th, 2012. Cash Macau. This Week in Tech is brought to you by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to create a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 15% off your new account for 6 months, go to Squarespace.com. Use the offer code TWIT2. And by Carbonite Online Backup. Automatic, continuous, and unlimited backup for your computer files, only $59 a year. Try it free at Carbonite.com and use the offer code TWIT to get 2 bonus months with purchase. And by Audible.com. Sign up for the Platinum Plan and get 2 free books. Go to audible.com/twit2. And don't forget to follow Audible on Twitter. User ID audible_com. It's time for Twit This Week in Tech. We're ready to go. Live streaming from my head. No, I'm not actually live, but Robert Scoble brought this along. And let me introduce the panel and we can get started. Robert Scoble is here at the Scobalizer from Building 48 and Rackspace.com/impact. Yep. It's good to have you, Robert. You're just back from DLD, the conference in Munich, right?
Yep.
And it's a kind of newspaper media, new media conference?
New media
conference. And then after that, the World Economic Forum, which is the one percenters gathering to laugh at the rest of us.
Yep.
And now you're here, and I'm glad to have you. Thanks for joining us. Also here to Robert's left, the lovely and talented Shira Lazar of What's Trending, about to enter in their second season at whatstrending.com, getting a lot of attention. Shira, also, you are a movie star. She's hosting shorts on the Oscars, on Oscar.com and on the Oscars app on the iPad. You're doing, I'm excited about that. That's fun. You're getting to meet, like, real celebrities.
Oh, yeah, those, the big screen people.
Big screen.
It's a ton of fun. It's my second year doing it, and it's cool to be part of those legacy brands, which are so iconic, like the Oscars. And so the difference is...
Do you call them a legacy brand to their face?
Yeah, I mean, it's like iconic.
They wouldn't know what she was talking about.
What do you mean legacy brand?
It's transcendent. I mean... You know what? The coolest part is the night of, you realize how big of a deal it is. And just the energy there is so incredible at the theater. We can't call it the Kodak Theater anymore, right?
Do they? Well, that's my question. Kodak declared bankruptcy this week, Chapter 11, and they said they're not going to make any more cameras. But it's still the Kodak Theater. They didn't take the name back.
Supposedly Billy Crystal or someone, like, we're debating if he's going to make a joke about it.
Oh, you know he is.
It might have gotten dumped, but... it's really cool. The Oscars app last year, we had over 12 cameras everywhere. It actually won an Emmy, the whole experience.
I love that. That's how I watched the Oscars. I watched it on a big screen, and I had the app on my iPad, and I was going back and forth because there's behind-the-scenes cameras and stuff. So you're
really did that.
This year's a bit different because we're also producing content leading up to the Oscars. So it's like, why just have content the day of, you know, to create buzz and engagement? We've been producing this series called Oscar Dailies, which is, it's not daily per se, even though it's called Oscar Dailies. But we're looking at each major category. And this week we have, we're looking at the Best Picture with Jon Landau, who won for Avatar and Titanic, and then Dustin Lance Black, who won for Milk.
Ooh, so that's fun. Fun. What's trending.com. You can find it there, but also get the Oscar. I like the Oscar app, by the way, on the iPad. I think they do a really nice job. Oh, look who else is here.
Me.
Oscar the Grouch.
Oscar the Grouch. Hello, everybody.
John C. Dvorak, channeldvorak.com. He's also the star of a great many shows on the internet, including No Agenda Show and X Factor.
I'm best known for doing this show with you, Leo.
Is that true? You better say that.
I am.
It's true. People come up to me all the time and go, I saw you on Twit.
Yeah. I saw you on Twit?
That's all right. I'm legacy media.
You are. You're legacy. Actually, legacy podcasting.
I'm legacy new media. Is that a category yet?
Well, if it is, you're it.
Add it on Wikipedia.
Apparently, Kodak is, as part of their Chapter 11, trying to get out of the agreement to name that theater because they have to continue to pay money. Yeah. So they really don't want to be the Kodak Theater anymore.
Well, they should do it right after the Oscars are over.
Yeah, that's the one you want to keep, right?
Well, they have a huge a contract. They paid millions of dollars for this, and the contract doesn't run up yet. So it'll be interesting now that they're bankrupt if they continue it.
So the big story this weekend, you've been going to Grammy, because Grammys are tonight. You've been going to Grammy parties, right, Shira? This is kind of, you're busy with that as well.
Yeah, well, the Grammys, I hosted it the past 2 years, the digital experience. This year, I'm taking a year off.
She's such a showbizzer.
She's in show business country, and she looks show busy.
She's beautiful.
Really show busy. Yeah.
You're real
I'm here
show
hanging
busy.
Out with you instead of on the red carpet. No, this is our red carpet.
That's right. We geeks appreciate it that you still give us the time of day.
Oh, yes. Yeah, the Grammys, I mean, it's crazy. But what made it even crazier was obviously Whitney Houston's death suddenly yesterday, which was, it was pretty wild, that whole occurrence. And the crazier thing was that it happened at the Beverly Hills Hotel, Beverly Hilton, which is where the Clive Davis, his famous party that he has every year the night before the Grammys. And Clive Davis is who really discovered Whitney Houston. And so to have that full circle where he basically uncovered her and revealed her to the public at his big party, obviously, you know, we're talking
years
about
ago.
Decades ago, probably almost. And the fact that she ended up passing away at that same hotel the night of the party.
I found interesting, I was at home. I got home and Henry was there with some friends. And one of his friends said, did Whitney Houston die? And I said, oh, I'm sure not. And you know what I did? I said, let me check Twitter.
Yep.
First thing I did. And in fact, it was all over Twitter. And I said, she did die. Turn on CNN. And what is CNN doing? Reading Twitter. They did this for an hour. They read Twitter out loud because that's where all the stars went to report it.
Yeah,
Twitter actually had this story half an hour before mainstream media broke it. This guy named Big Chorizo, who has 14 followers. I don't know where he got the story, but he had it literally at 4:57 p.m. No, I'm sorry. He had it at 4:30 p.m. That was 27 minutes before the Associated Press had the publicist statement. So once again, if you want to know what's going on, you read it on Twitter.
Yeah. This has been quite consistent with almost every news story.
I have to say something, though, just because it's on Twitter. I mean, that's the thing. It's like until someone...
Yeah, somebody knows a little bit about that.
Yes. Here's it. The thing is, I mean, we all saw it on Twitter as well. And obviously, before we retweet someone...
You've learned that. You learned that lesson. Somebody in Shira's organization tweeted that Steve Jobs had passed away long before he did. And that actually cost you a lot. I know you lost your CBS.
Yeah, I mean, it was a huge deal on it. It showed you Google before you tweet. We had seen it. I saw it online also, or on Twitter first. And I was telling Damon, who's my my partner and my executive producer, I go, oh, my God, Whitney Houston died. I just saw it. And he goes, oh, well, you should Google. And at that time, we Googled again and we didn't see any other sources. And so we weren't going to jump on the story until we saw, you know, someone else picked it up or it was confirmed by a more legitimate outlet. And then finally, when the Associated Press confirmed through her publicist, that's when, you know, obviously you realize that it did happen. I mean, the thing about Twitter is obviously... possibly it can break stories before an official outlet, because if you have someone who's on the scene, a random person at the hotel, a friend of a friend, they'll tweet it. But, you know, once again, you can't base real news on hearsay.
Can I ask a rhetorical question? What difference does it make to anybody whether you learned out that Whitney Houston died at 4:35? a half an hour after it happened, an hour after it happened.
It doesn't.
To anybody in the world, who what difference does
but
it make?
But you know, because you've worked in mainstream media, that they care a lot. Even bloggers care
it's
about
it. Only because the other guy.
Right. You want to be the first.
It's you don't know, me versus Scoble.
To be honest, it could be just gossip. A bunch, someone right. could have, like, a friend of a friend. Maybe.
Real people don't care.
Yeah, you need some sort of secondary confirmation of it. That's yeah.
This is what's interesting, though, and I think this is one of the things that Twitter is a little different. Twitter's unmediated. Now, that you're right, means it could be completely wrong, but it also means you can hear from the horse's mouth. Like the guy who heard the Osama bin Laden raid happening and tweeted it. In fact, Mashable found the very first tweet about Whitney Houston. Says, oh, my God, my Aunt Tiffany, who works for Whitney, just found her dead in the bathtub.
Wow.
That is, you know, within a few minutes of that happening. Now we know that that's real. Now, if you had read that, of course, you wouldn't immediately go and say, oh, this is what happened. You'd want to vet it. But I think that's what's different in some ways. And that's one of the reasons that it was interesting CNN was spending so much time reading Twitter. What they were reading was all the major celebrities responding to Whitney Houston. Where do they respond? Not through their publicist, not through a press release, not through a call to CNN. They tweeted it. Now, here's the other thing I thought, and this is even, you know, kind of more meta. They weren't reading Facebook. And I think that this is one of the reasons Facebook is trying to change the way it works. Because, you know, you got to figure Facebook's looking and saying, look at all the press Twitter is getting. This is where people are going to make public statements. They can't go to Facebook because how is CNN going to read their Facebook
page? This is funny because I was listening to a show on the way up on 910, some guy called the Tech Guy, and he said the exact same thing.
Yes, he did, in the same exact voice. But I think that's the story. Don't you think, though, that's kind of an interesting story? And if you want one reason why Facebook keeps changing its privacy policy to be more public, it's that. They want to be like Twitter. They want to be.
Well, they have this thing called Subscribe Now where you can subscribe to somebody without being a friend. So you
understand that CNN is never going to be able to read, at least until there's a complete wholesale change in the way Facebook works. Because when you read something that's been sent to you on CNN, it's not been published publicly. It's been sent to you individually. I breach privacy every time I show my Facebook page on camera.
Yeah.
Because those people have not given permission. I can show my Twitter feed. It's already public.
Yep.
So Facebook can CNN can never show Facebook reaction, even though the Facebook reaction was better. The reaction on Facebook was richer. It was better. It was longer. It had videos.
You are totally preoccupied with this subject. I'd like to know why.
Because it explains why Facebook is in such a panic.
I'm not sure that this is accurate. I don't know that they're in a panic.
Well,
I do believe. I mean, that's why some people I know who work at Facebook, I mean, they encourage you to be sharing your updates more on Facebook, doing it not through the Twitter app, doing it directly on Facebook. I do believe they want to create more news when people update, you know, their status on Facebook.
But they've got
Facebook.
A problem not only that, because of the privacy
setting. It's not our go-to source.
Right.
But Leo, you know, when I search real-time news, I go to Twitter right now.
Here's Jeff Pulver, and he has an item up there where he's retweeting the San Jose Mercury News, and it has on the message in Facebook where it's shared with, and this one is shared with public. So you could share that message.
I understand.
That
is a public.
I don't think
but
Facebook...
The risk of reading the wrong one, CNN is not going to go there. They're just not going to go there. And more importantly, if Macy Gray wants to publish a reaction about Whitney Houston dying, where's she going to do it? Not on Facebook. She's going to do it on Twitter.
Probably both, because I'm seeing lots of reactions from celebrities on Facebook.
It was a much richer reaction because they have more words. They could post video. They could post pictures. There was much – in fact, it was a much richer stream on Facebook. I liked it on Facebook. But you won't ever – I think you're not going to see that on CNN for that very reason.
I'm not certain why this is even an issue or what CNN does.
Facebook cares.
They don't
it's free advertising. Facebook cares.
Yeah. Twitter cares, too, by the way.
Twitter cares.
Jack spoke at this conference in Munich that I went to. Jack Dorsey, the founder of Twitter,
former CEO.
And he says Twitter is now a news information utility. Mm. And that's exactly right. It's not just the Whitney Houston that I go to Twitter for. It's the crash on the freeway. The other day I was stuck in stop traffic, and I opened up two things. I opened up Waze to see what was going on, and I opened up Twitter, and I started searching for 280 traffic. And sure enough, there was 4 tweets from people who were stuck right behind the crash saying there's a...
And you're much better off going on a ham radio rig in your car and just asking around.
But you, well, and you
when the
never
apocalypse comes, Leo's going to have all the communication.
I'm saying that's a much better way
but
of doing
you
it.
Can't, and you would never go to Facebook to do that. Now, maybe
John, let's have this conversation.
I'm not on Twitter in my car.
You're thinking, though, you will be if Mercedes has anything. You're thinking that Facebook doesn't mind this, that they don't feel like this is a
disadvantage. Facebook doesn't think of themselves as a news source. They're not competing with the newspapers
they
or with
do.
The broadcast
Why?
TVs.
Whoa. This is where I'll totally go against you because they hired someone to oversee their journalist program specifically to evangelize, like, news on Facebook.
Then they're being defensive.
Look at the Washington Post social reader. You're telling me that Facebook is not promoting this like crazy? In fact, it's creepy ass because every time I read a story on the Washington Post social reader, it tells everybody what I'm reading.
It's very
that is bad.
I like your news judgment, by the way.
Well, I can't read any of the sleazy stories I want to read because it publishes it. Now, I could turn that off. By the way, I wanted to ask you about this, Robert. So I read a post by Robert Scoble on I actually read it on Google Plus, but apparently it was also on Facebook. You were talking to Steve Jobs' cancer doctor, and it was not an ad. It was a legitimate post. And I immediately bought the book. It was called End of Illness. I'm loving the book. But do you see what's happened here? That this has become a sponsored story. This post on Facebook has become an ad.
And I'm not getting paid for that.
Does that not bother you?
I meant I think that's actionable. Well, this is you recommending a book, and it's being sponsored.
You want to fund a lawyer for 30 grand?
I think we can find somebody to take
that
on.
We're going
to
find a lawyer that's going to take
totally
this
out. Illegal.
Now, it's my understanding that I see it because you're my friend, right? So others might see somebody else. But the thing that bugs me is this was, from you, a normal post, a legitimate journalistic post saying, I talked to this guy. He had some interesting things to say. This
Buy
is
his
book.
Yeah.
Well,
it's what it says.
But it was
it
a legitimate
like.
Recommendation that got turned into
a promotion
by
a
this
promotion.
Book.
Yeah.
Presumably, his publisher bought it. No, Amazon, I guess, bought it.
This does bother me a little bit.
Well,
because we're in the media business and we understand when you have an audience and a name that you using your name for a promotion like this is worth money and we're not getting paid. And that drives us nuts. But
you
because
could,
it's consistent.
Could you stop this? Could you set a setting that says don't do
I
that?
I could call Mark.
Why don't you send him an invoice? Send,
that's right. You know Mark.
Send an invoice. This, send an invoice.
If they did this to me, it would be actively damaging because I refuse to do any kind of endorsement outside of my own shows.
Right.
So it's actively damaging to me. I would have a big problem with that. And the problem is I will never know because this doesn't show up on your page.
No, I didn't even know about this until you showed it to me right now.
This only shows up on your friend's page.
Well, I'll show you when I see your name over there.
Well, let's make a deal. I'll tell you when you, everybody. I'll tell Shira, John,
Thank
Robert.
You.
I will tell you if I see Shira Lazar says you should buy this deodorant. By the way, if you told me to, I would because I think it was personal.
Yeah. By the way, this is also
you
an
would
interesting
you
story
really would.
If Shira thinks I stink, I'm fixing it.
This is an interesting thing that just came up. Pinterest. You're on Pinterest?
Yeah.
You got your wedding
dress
on?
You want to talk about Pinterest?
Yeah, we should.
But Pinterest is doing the same thing with Amazon. And Pinterest is replace. If I put an affiliate link in my Pinterest to Amazon, so the way Amazon pays
people, they strip them out.
There's a special URL that I can put on a book.
That's chicken.
Right? They strip them out and put their own affiliate link.
Oh, isn't
that
funny?
So they collect the dollar or whatever they're getting kicked back from Amazon.
I think that if you put an affiliate, and we were talking about this. And I'm told, and I'll have to check this. So Pinterest is using a tool that a lot of other people use. Whenever there is a link on Pinterest to something that's sold on Amazon, this tool will automatically add Pinterest's affiliate link so they can make some money out of it. I was told by the chat room, and I don't know if it's true because I should research it, that if there is already an affiliate link, it will not modify that.
Oh, really?
So
somebody claimed it.
You could preserve your link.
This is what you get for trusting Twitter.
I don't know. I'm trusting
Twitter.
The chat room. So the best thing for both of us to do would be to research this. The chat room's usually right when they say something like this. But I think that is – I agree with you. I think that's a little – now, that's how they're monetizing.
Yeah.
CNN,
they don't make it clear. Nobody makes it clear when they link to a book that they're getting a kickback from Amazon.
Yeah,
we
do this on our picks page. This was discovered by Ryan Hise in The Verge. Josh Davis at LL Social was the first to notice this. It's a company called Skimlinks that does this. In fact, I'll go to SkimLinks, and you can see that this is, in fact, what they're selling to people, is this ability to skim through the links on your website and add. In fact, John, you should do this, for instance, on your blog.
The blog, Dvorak.org/blog. Have a drink.
I couldn't remember the name of the blog.
Dvorak.org/blog.
Is it Dvorak?
.org. You're right, not .com, .org.
.org.
Slash
what?
Blog.
Blog. Just I senior moment. Unlock the cash in your content. Discover new automated revenue streams. So basically, this is what they're using. And by the way, it looks like Technorati, Fat Wallet, Ning, Cosmopolitan, and others also use it.
Huh. So what are they basically swapping out somebody's link for the ones that make you money?
If there's a link and Pinterest, that's all.
It must be good for a laugh with these spammers who spam your comments.
I know,
you might as well just leave it turned on and just swap them all out.
But isn't this what Pinterest really is? Now, I bet you, I'm going to take a guess that you well-dressed gentlemen here do not use Pinterest, but that Shira Lazar uses it like crazy.
I actually, you know what? I haven't gotten as into it as I want to get.
In other words, growing.
This site is still request and invite, beta only. It's already one of the top 10 most visited sites on the internet. Already.
A ton of girls I know, like my makeup artists, like people that aren't really necessarily early adopters, what I think is cool about it.
Bring your makeup artist out.
What?
And your inner makeup artist. By the way, let Shira finish. Wait a minute.
My makeup artist. That sounded really lame the way I said that. My makeup artist.
Bring her out.
No, Shira, just a tip. Call her your stylist.
You have a hair person and a makeup person.
Yeah, my person.
They're both on Pinterest. And I think it's incredible the way, I guess they've reached more of a mainstream user in such a short
time. Yeah, real people are on Pinterest.
Well, keep in mind, they've been up since 2009, so it's not a new site.
So why are they invite only? That's so bizarre.
Because this is... You know, some you always want to get into the party that you can't get into.
So I get it. And you know? And by the way, I have no interest in Pinterest.
Just also, by the way,
none.
The invite system lets them slow down their growth so that they can keep up their servers. Because if it goes white hot and it doubles every 15 seconds because, you know, John talks
crazy
about them.
Well, that's not going to happen.
So
it'll melt down their servers.
Does this attract you? I mean, does this seem like something? What? It's basically a scrapbook, right?
Women like it. I mean, I think people like it because it's super easy. The interface, it's the scrapbook. It doesn't feel too techy.
What's the point of it?
Assume this is women only anymore.
Oh, it's not.
No, it's not.
What's the point of it?
And then what we've been seeing, like with Rick Santorum, someone started a Pinterest page for Rick Santorum for a sweater vest. So people, actually, news organizations are starting to
We don't want to ask what the sweater vest is made of.
So... A news organization. Okay, I'm. By the way, I am on Pinterest. Would you like an invitation, John?
Yeah, send me an invitation, and I'll.
Ted has all their videos, by the way, on Pinterest, and there's lots of other.
Really?
Yeah.
Send me an invite. I need an invite.
So, add Pinterest to you. This is interesting. Add Pinterest to your Facebook timeline.
Yeah.
So now I can have Pinterest automatically posting.
What Shira is saying was why I missed it, because I saw it, you know, a year ago, and I kept looking at it was women only, and I was like, I'm not going to talk about this to my audience because my audience is 80% men.
Well, Jenny Jardin is now following my pins, so I better start pinning stuff.
You better.
So how do you pin?
But
so
it started going to men in about November last year, and that's when you started seeing it go mainstream. It's really, the growth is straight up right now.
If we ever went to full employment again in this country, these things would be dead.
I completely agree with you. Too much free time. Now, this is the one I want to join. This is for men. It's called Gentlemint. This is another one. It's a mint of manly things.
It almost seems like a Tumblr, you know, but it's an easier way, but it's showing more streams than a Tumblr.
See, isn't this something you'd rather be? It's got scotch. It's got Megan Fox. It's got jackets, barber chairs. It's manly.
It looks like a bunch of ads.
Yeah. It does, doesn't it? So does Pinterest, though, right?
Well, I'm going to put
more content.
I'll put a Pinterest thing for the
All right, let me send you an invite. Dvorak?
John at Dvorak.org.
All right. Anybody else want an invite?
Send me one because I haven't really.
I'm on there somewhere.
You're not on it, Shira?
I haven't started playing with it. No. I know.
But she wants
really
to.
Bad.
My wife, by the way, is not on it. And she said all of her friends are addicted to it. She says that's why she's not on it. She knows she would be addicted to it, too.
Okay. So, Shira, I'm going to send this to you and John.
But I'm on it somewhere.
Okay. And I'm going to say.
Well, I mean, I know a lot of.
Love, yeah,
so
guys, this thing is awesome. Heart. What was signed, the... Kelly Ripa. Okay.
What was the name of that other site that had that replaced the URLs? I didn't get the name. What was it again?
The Gentleman? Oh, Skimlinks.
Skimlinks.
This is the service they're using.
You know, I don't know. Does really that feel... of interest, Gary Vaynerchuk, he was like, this is going to be the breakout platform of 2012.
He says that a lot, though. No, Pinterest.
No. Well, it won some sort of award.
He hops on anything that's hot. So.
Yeah. No, you're like, you don't, Robert?
Absolutely.
Sure. Robert's so slow to adopt. No, I tried Pinterest, of course. This has an iPhone app. And I guess I don't really understand how it works. You're bookmarking it like you would do on Delicious, except that it goes to Pinterest. Is that kind of...
Yeah.
Right.
It's like the front of your refrigerator. You know, my refrigerator, my wife puts all these little knickknacks and family photos.
And you
cute
follow
things.
People. So I follow, like, Trey Ratcliffe. A lot of this is Trey Ratcliffe pictures. So that's kind of cool, right?
Oh, yeah. It's great.
And then you could pick a category that you really like. I just wish there was sex. There should be more sex on here.
I guarantee you there's sex.
If there were a Pinterest.
Sure, yeah, there's probably some. Somewhere here,
Sinterest. Find a Sinterest.
Sinterest.
Get the URL quick.
Quick. Register at Sinterest. Wow, that's a
By the way,
idea.
You can search for sex on there, and there is some sex.
There's
but
sex
we better
on
not
there?
Show this on air.
All right. Thank you, everybody. We're going to
take
a break.
Yeah, there are some hot... Look at that, you know?
Oh! Yeah, wow.
It's not bad.
Yeah, the picture's a little small.
It's lady sex. It's not man sex. It's lady sex.
Yes, yeah, see, Sherry,
like
you should
stalking.
Be here. Instead of being over there.
I shouldn't show you how to use 500px for sex, either.
I don't want to know.
There's
how do you? What do you do? Go just tell the audience.
You got to turn off the parental controls, and then you can do all sorts of erotic photography searches.
Actually, 500px is a great site for photography. I love it. For all kinds.
You guys are, I don't want to say.
I don't want to know. Isn't that what, how do I know?
As Dan says, he feels bad for Shira.
Shira, when you went, I know. You
the
know
chat
what?
Room's giving us
we
hell.
We should never have Shira on a show where she's not in, with these guys especially, where she's not actually sitting here.
Because I don't want to, like, interrupt you guys. And then all your people in your chat room are like, stop interrupting them and talking over them. So I kind of let you guys talk.
What are you talking about, Shira? Every time you're on, the hit rates here go up about 30%. And then it goes back down when you go off air.
When you went to parties last night, was it kind of somber? Were people, obviously people are talking about Whitney. Was it a sad?
Some people, people were definitely talking about her. I think at the Clive Davis party, it was a bit weirder.
Wait a minute. You actually went to the Clive Davis party?
No, I didn't. I've been there the past 2 years. So I wish I'd been there this year because obviously it was such a historic year with everything going on. I was at another party at the Roosevelt with like OK Go people and a bunch of, it was
fun.
More the hipster other parties. The Clive Davis party was the party to go to.
Right.
But I definitely think there was a somber feeling around because she was so iconic and impacted so many people. It was funny. I was watching the Grammy live stream, and one of the hosts, which was really awkward, asked one of the guys from Glee, the stars, let's get the elephant out of the room, you know, let's approach that, the elephant in the room. And he's like, elephant in the room? He's like, you mean the subject of Whitney Houston?
That's
like,
not an elephant.
No, it's actually an elephant. I heard there was an actual elephant.
It was a bit crass.
That is
so,
a little crass.
I definitely think it was interesting how people approached it, specifically reporters. I mean, everyone was asking, obviously, about that on the red carpet, asking people about it. Yeah. But
do you have to go to the – are you going to the Grammys tonight or are you not?
No, I'm not going to the Grammys tonight. I'm not. I decided
you
to –
You took the night off. Huh?
I probably could have maybe tried to get tickets or something like that.
Which do you like better? So you get to go to both. Do you like the Oscars or the Grammys better?
I mean, the Oscars was pretty incredible. I was second row, right in back of Natalie Portman and everyone who was nominated.
Oh my God.
So to see them, you know, their names being called out. And
wear a twit cap.
Yeah, next time, I'd like you to wear this hat. Now that's new media. Oh if they would God. Let you wear
Keep
this.
Done.
Say, we are backstage, we have many backstage cameras, but the best camera is row 3, Shira Lazar's head. So what is it like sitting behind Natalie Portman?
I know. I mean, it was pretty incredible. Wow. You could see her whispering with her husband. I mean, I'm not like a gossip reporter or anything. I just thought it was fun. I was sitting right next to Jennifer Hudson and her husband.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, it was a fun scene. And then, you know, you go to the bar and there's people just with their Oscars sitting there having a drink.
Did you steal one?
I know. We were taking pictures with one of the women who won. She won for like best editing or special effects.
How fun.
But it's fun to be part of those big nights.
Yeah, I would love to. I envy you.
It's always a blast. I mean, I really give credit to the Grammys for their social media and everything. You know, they do these 72-hour live streams leading up to the Grammys, and they're big on Instagram and live tweeting.
You know who else is doing that? They've really learned. The Westminster Kennel Club. I'm not kidding. The dog show, it's going on right now, and you can watch it. You can watch this judging backstage live and all that stuff.
Fantastic.
Well, internet and dogs and cute dogs.
They go together, baby. We're going to take a break and come back with more. Actually, there's some serious news, again, with Twitter. In this case, a Saudi Arabian journalist who is basically facing death for things he tweeted. Hard to believe.
Death by tweet.
Yeah. But first, let's talk a little bit about backing your stuff up. You know, if you're facing death by tweet, it's probably a good idea to have a backup of your data. Can I believe I said that? Go ahead, John. Take a walk. That's right. He just left. I'm talking about Carbonite.com. It's online, automatic, continuous backup of your stuff for $59 a year. Less than $5 a month for everything on your internal drive. But it is fantastic. You know, you're going to live on long and long, long, but your data is, frankly, on death's door all the time. Those hard drives die. There's malware out there. And frankly, the biggest threat to data, us. We throw stuff out by accident. When you've got it on Carbonite, you know it's always there. In fact, what's cool about Carbonite is you can check. It's cloud storage. You can check by logging into your Carbonite account on any computer, Mac, PC, smartphones, tablets. There's your stuff. You have complete access to it all the time. Less than $5 a month. Unlimited backup of your internal drive. They do have plans for external drives, multiple computers too. So they've got a business versions as well. Go to Carbonite.com. If you use the offer code TWIT, you can try this. You don't need a credit card. You don't need anything but the name TWIT. You can try this for 15 days. That should be enough for your first backup. And then if you decide to buy, you get 14 months for the price of 12 for $59. But you got to use the offer code TWIT. Your data is really your life. Keep it backed up. Keep it safe. Don't come crying to me if you don't do this. We get people on the radio show every week who say, I lost my data. And it's like, dude, I've been telling you about Carbonite for years. Carbonite.com. Offer code TWIT. I actually got an email yesterday from a guy who was mad at me because he'd lost his data. And I had done a Carbonite ad before that. And he, for some reason, thought I was talking about him when I did the Carbonite ad. It was not aimed at you, sir. It was not personal. Everybody, you know, forgets to back up. That's why Carbonite's so important. Carbonite.com. I do feel for this guy, Hazma Kashgari. He published tweets. He published tweets in which he was having an imaginary dialogue with the Prophet Muhammad.
Uh-oh. Not good.
It's off limits.
Yo.
He wrote, for instance, these tweets have been deleted since. He wrote, for instance, I have loved the rebel in you, but I do not like the halos of divinity around you. I shall not pray for you. Apparently, that's so sacrilegious.
It's blasphemy.
He also wrote, I shall shake your hand as equals do. I shall speak to you as a friend no more.
Blasphemy.
It is blasphemous. So he started receiving death threats. His address was posted on a social media site. Clerics began calling for him to be executed or tried
again?
In Saudi Arabia.
Oh, not good.
February 8, 4 days ago, he fled for New Zealand, but he was caught in transit in Malaysia, and he has now been extradited, repatriated to Saudi Arabia.
Well, he's done.
Wow.
Glass half full, right, John?
Now, but this ties into that Twitter's announcement a couple of weeks ago that they were going to follow the rules in each country about censoring tweets.
Yep.
But what I liked, what Twitter decided to do is to make it, because their API makes this public, yes, if you're in Saudi Arabia, you can't read these sacrilegious tweets, but Twitter makes it available to everywhere else in the world which tweets are being censored by which country. So you can actually go read a database of tweets censored in Saudi Arabia, which is, I think, exactly the right response. So I know they got a lot of heat for censorship. I think that's the exact right way to respond to it. And we, you know, we'll just watch with interest to see.
And of course, those tweets get read more than any
more.
Other.
Yes, you're guaranteeing, right?
When I got off the plane in China, the first thing they do is hand you a list of proxy servers so you can go through the firewalls.
Who are they?
The kids in China.
You mean they're standing out there with pamphlets saying, here's the proxy servers?
No, when you go over to somebody's house, they have a list of proxy servers for you to use.
That is fascinating. I think that the Chinese, we've talked about this before, leaders understand that the elites need full access to the internet.
I've never had trouble getting good access in China. You stay at a better hotel.
You can't tweet. You can't go on Facebook.
Depends on the time
I couldn't.
Of the month.
Yeah, it did. You know, when I arrived in China, Facebook was working. Before I left, it was not working. And that was because of the uprising in the West. And they didn't want any coverage of that. So there's an
issue here because obviously there's freedom of speech that is being attacked. But then also some of these people who are using these social networks, it's a problem because they can be, you know, attacked for it.
Right.
You know, the government finds that out and they're in prison for the rest of. So it, partially for Twitter, would it be protecting these citizens from their, you know, these thoughts or whatever they're updating from being seen by the government and therefore them being found, you know, taken into custody?
This situational blocking is not unusual. I guess in Iran right now, Google is being blocked. And all SSL sites, because it's the anniversary of the revolution, is coming up. So they, I guess, proactively. This story is in the Next Web. Proactively are blocking HTTPS.
That's crazy.
That's really going a little far. The reason is, of course, because they can't see the traffic. If it's HTTPS, they can't see into it.
Because it's encrypted.
Because it's encrypted.
Have you heard of something called Anchor Free? Creates a secure internet so you're not tracked, and it's being used in a lot of these different countries.
Oh, interesting. Anchorfree.com. Oh, this is from Hotspot Shield. Yeah, these guys are good. I actually like Hotspot Shield, and I use them. So it's a proxy. It's a VPN proxy server. When I went to China, I just used Posterous because they didn't. They blocked. This is the thing. It's very hard to block the internet. So you could use a proxy server, or even better, I used Posterous and I emailed. They can't block email, so I'd email and it would tweet it, or it would post it on YouTube or Facebook. So it's easy to get around these things if you know what you're doing. And I think that's the point. I think that in many cases these elites understand that the elites are going to get on the internet. They don't want the plebes.
Elites, plebes?
They don't want the plebes. Yeah. Yeah, the plebes, the people.
Is there any tech news this week? I'm just curious.
That's tech news.
This is culture.
Well,
culture.
On the other side, Path is uploading all our data to the internet.
All right, let's talk about that. You notice that Instagram did an update.
Oh, yeah.
People hate Instagram.
Who hates Instagram?
Lots of people.
Nobody hates Instagram. Yeah. It's the most popular application.
Instagram was on the Super Bowl.
It was Apple's app of the year. Who hates Instagram? Show of hands. Who hates Instagram?
Lyft, come on. See
all the Android users.
You lie.
No, they're all Android users.
Android users.
They're like, I hate Instagram. It's not on Android.
It's hipstergram.
It is hipstergram. Actually, and
there is a hipster app already.
The only thing I don't like about Instagram is the comments, because they seem to be now, everybody just says, like your pictures, follow me. And there's no way to control that. Sure, you use Instagram, don't you?
Yeah.
Losergram.
Oh my God.
John, you're such a curmudgeon.
I just got that off the chat room. Don't blame me. I'm just a messenger.
I mean, I like it. I like the filters. It's fun. It's easy. But then I was, you know, obviously experimenting more with Path, which could get us
into this. I love Path.
You like everything.
I love Path. Don't you love it, Shira?
The thing is, the balance of, definitely there are things that I want to share with my friends, my private community versus the public. And so Path is definitely great for that. So, I mean, I like it. I've been using it more recently, actually.
Yes, I noticed. And what's great about Path is you can actually see Shira in ways that you wouldn't. It's not your public persona. It's for your friends.
You what?
I've even.
All right, now I got to delete one of my 150 friends and add Shira.
If she'll let you. No, it's I follow my close friends on Path.
What are you seeing on my Path?
And I agree with you. Well, you know, there was just some funny pictures of you, like you making faces and stuff. And I like that. It's kind of a little bit more for your friends. In fact, there's some people I follow on Path that I know a little bit, and I almost feel like I've made better friends with them. So, but let's talk a little bit about the privacy issue. So Path, and as it turns out, it's not just Path. And as I said, Instagram slipped an update in, and they got all the press for, oh, a new filter, oh, new buttons. But what the other thing was that they turned off this feature. And I think Facebook does it a lot.
They didn't turn it off. They made it so it was locked out.
Right. They put a warning on it.
This is a giant thing you've got here, Leo.
This is my Galaxy Note, my new phone. I love it.
It's big.
I love it. Everybody should get this phone. It's a phablet. I love this. No, it's great.
That's funny. I heard a guy on the radio on the way in say the same thing.
You got to stop listening to the radio. I know who that guy is. He's stealing my material. So what Path did, any smartphone application that does this is doing the same thing in all likelihood. What Path did is says, do you want me to find Path users in your contacts? Now, Path... When you say yes, Path uploaded your entire contact list to its servers. And it kind of makes sense because it's there on the servers that they compares it against the database and says, oh, Shira, Scoble, and John are on Path. Would you like to have asked them to be friends? That makes sense. Path did a couple of things wrong, though. They didn't tell people they were doing that. And secondly, they kept the data. And the reason they kept it is so they could continue to match. So if you have new friends, they could match it again if somebody got added to Path. Like if sure, well, John wasn't on Path, isn't on Path,
of course, so, not,
but it knows that John's in my contact list, so if you joined, it would then ping me, say, hey, John just joined, and this happens on Path. John would just join, would you like to follow him? And I think that's a nice feature. Instagram does it, Facebook does it. I would say almost any smartphone app that says, would you like me to find friends in your contacts, if you think about it, they're not going to download the contacts from the server and compare it on the phone. They're going to upload from the phone to the server. Now, some have pointed out, quite rightly so, there are technical ways they could avoid this. For instance, they could hash emails and just upload the hashes. And that would be protecting your privacy.
Yep.
But it's computationally intensive on the phone side. And it isn't as complete on the other side. I guess the question is, first of all, do you not trust Path? Are you really worried about them selling your email address?
I'm not too worried about it, but I'm not worried about any of this stuff because
it's all public anyway.
Well, first of all, my Facebook is totally public. You can look at my friends there.
Are the wrong people to ask. But Shira, for instance, I'm sure you.
No,
as any woman
she
in
has
tech,
stalkers.
No, as any woman in tech, you don't. You can't live fully in public. Did it bother you when you read that Path was doing this?
I mean, it didn't really bother me once again because there's other platforms doing this, right? I felt a bit bad because I know Dave Moore and I know the whole team. And, you know, the first question was more like, is this going to influence their company in the long run? Is this going to change
the
perception of it? Yeah, I felt bad. Well, you always feel bad when you have, and I'm sure you guys feel the same way. You know this, you know, the CEOs and founders of a lot of these companies. And for me personally, it didn't really hugely affect things. I think it's more the perception. If anything, it's just, you know, it's somewhat of a bit of PR damage.
I blame Path a little bit for this, but there's some other guilty parties in this thing.
Who else?
Apple. Apple should have had an API that forces you to opt into it, just like they do with location.
Well, ironically,
and every time you upload a photo, it says, "Would you like to your photo app to?"
Ironically,
have access to
if
the
you
GPS.
Added Path on Android, I didn't read the permissions, but it would say in the permissions, yep. Path needs access to your contact list. It doesn't say whether it's uploading it or not, but you're giving it access. Apple takes kind of the other attitude. We're not going to bother people with all that stuff. We'll take care of it for you. And they didn't.
Mm.
So I agree. In a way, they are culpable because the presumption of iPhone users is, well, they don't give me all these permissions, but they're watching out for me.
Yeah. The other party that's somewhat guilty in this is the investors because they're putting so much pressure on these companies to get faster adoption than Facebook and Twitter had.
Yeah.
I mean, why have we been talking about Pinterest? Because they've had this hyper-fast adoption lately.
Right.
And that's what makes investors go nuts, right? They like that. And they're forcing these companies to try to become viral faster. Mm,
okay. I do like how Path responded. Dave Morin blogged immediately, said, I'm sorry. And they immediately pushed a fix that gave you the opt-out. And they said, we're going to delete all the data we've saved. I think they responded as best anyone could possibly respond.
Yeah.
I agree.
And Instagram, in a little bit sneakily...
Instagram got away with murder, right?
They got away with murder. Now, I wonder, I bet you the Facebook app does the same thing.
I don't know how Facebook works. In the early days, it grew just by asking you to upload all your data, right? That's why I had this problem with Facebook, because it, when I joined it, it said, would you like to stick your Google contacts into this?
Right.
And it asked you to upload, which is better than the way Path did it, because Path did it sort of sneakily. It didn't really explain what it was doing. But they already, Facebook already has all my Google data, and I'm sure Mark Zuckerberg didn't delete anything from his databases that I've uploaded. Facebook. So I don't know how they're collecting it today, because Google turned them off. Remember that? You know, in the early days,
right.
Facebook was actually hooked up to Google. So
it was a direct connect. Google, they didn't have to download it. They had full access to
it. Yeah, my Google contacts went into Facebook, and no problem. Google turned that off, turned the API off, so Facebook couldn't do that. I don't know how they're collecting data today, but it really doesn't matter. Everybody's on Facebook that's going to be on Facebook, at least in the Western world.
So Nick Bilton wrote an article, and we should get Nick on, because he wrote an article in the Bits blog at the New York Times, really excoriating Path, saying Dave Morin doesn't get it. He said Mr. Morin seemed unconcerned about how people could be harmed by his company's carelessness, and he talks about dissidents who could be, you know, revealed and so forth.
And
if you're a dissident, can I just make a suggestion? What the hell are you doing using Path for?
Yeah.
Excuse me?
And it gets worse than that. I talked with somebody at Davos who...
You have to... wait a minute.
Whose father
was... If you're at risk of government agents killing you, please do me a favor. Be a little cautious. Don't start sharing on Path.
Or Facebook.
And
or
don't
Twitter.
Blame Dave Morin, because this dissident
I agree.
Is
and
so
when
stupid.
When you put something up anywhere, it's up yeah. there. And it can be...
You're
you know,
in public, so stop.
Public, yeah. Basically.
Anyways, I talked to a guy at the World Economic Forum whose father had been kidnapped in Chile, and he said that he does not allow anybody around him to be on Facebook because this stuff can actually
of course
be used
not.
Against you in this kind of country.
If you are
it could
on
also
the internet,
happen here.
You are in public, and it's going to happen here. We're headed straight down that road, but that's a discussion for noagendashow.com. Here's Nick's point.
And that's cool.
Here's Nick's point. The big deal is that privacy and security is not a big, this I don't disagree with, is not a big deal in Silicon Valley. While the technorati tripped over themselves to congratulate Mr. Morin on finessing the bad publicity.
I didn't, by the way.
A number of concerned engineers emailed me noting that the data collection was not an accident. It would have taken programmers, of course it wasn't. It was.
Yeah. They were competing with Instagram. It was no accident.
It's not an accident. Nobody's asserting that it's an inadvertent. We know they did it on purpose. I'm not. I think it would be unfair to. And look, I've met Dave. I'm not a friend of Dave's. I have a lot of respect for him. But I think it would be going a little far to assert that somehow Path was taking my email addresses from my contact list and like selling them somewhere. No. I think that they were using it for exactly the purpose they described, and that's all. If you think they're doing otherwise, then you would have a right to be upset. Are they selling our email addresses?
No, the argument is in sometime in the future.
Somebody is.
They could, right? And that's, it's the slippery slope argument. Oh, today they're only using it for this. Tomorrow they're going to use
think,
it for this.
Here's what I think.
And the day
I
after
think
they're
this
going
is,
to use it for
this
else.
Is growing pains. All of this stuff is new.
Yeah.
And I think what happened is exactly what should happen. It was a teachable moment. Dave Morin was the bad guy. He learned. He said, oh, my God, you're right. We weren't thinking about the consequences. Here, let me delete the data, change our policy. We won't do it again. Others, like Instagram, learned by example and responded. I don't think that people in Silicon Valley don't care about privacy and security, but I think this stuff's moving very fast. There's pressure from investors,
yep.
But it's also just moving very fast. And there may be, you know, missing stuff. It always happens. The real question is how people make mistakes. It's how fast you correct it and how sincerely you corrected it.
I think
corrected it sincerely.
There's an app, by the way, and there's a couple apps already that are way beyond Path. One's called Highlight, and it shows me if you were on Highlight.
I'm on Highlight.
And you
I don't have my
within,
iPhone with me, yeah.
If you walked within 50 yards of me, it would show that Leo Laporte just walked by you, right?
Oh, that's
it shows,
cool.
It's really cool. Right? See, that's the reaction. Oh, that's cool. I want that.
And I got on this app because I saw it go through a party in 20 minutes in San Francisco before anybody knew what it was. I said, man, this is the most viral app I've ever seen. This is what gets...
I love it.
It got investors...
But can I point out that if you are a political dissident at risk of your life, you probably shouldn't use it.
No.
And Nick uses as an example, He says, lawyers I spoke with said that my address book, which contains my reporting sources at companies and in government, is protected under the First Amendment. Path, it's frightfully open for anyone to see your use because the company did not encrypt the data. Nick, if you have secret stuff in your address book, for crying out loud, when Path says, would you like me to look in your contacts for somebody to follow, you should say no.
Well,
I don't understand why you're blaming Path when you said, yeah, check in my contacts, see if there's anybody you know.
Yeah. Worse than that, is if you're in a modern computing device, you're probably already sharing your contacts with something else.
I agree.
Right? My iPhone shoves my contacts up to Google contacts, so now Google has them. And Facebook once in a while gets updates because I put my friend, you know, if I meet you in the street and I like you, I'm going to put you in Facebook. So now I got you in Facebook, I got you in Google, and I got you in my address book, which also goes to Microsoft because of Exchange Server.
Don't you think that if you're on the internet, you should just kind of assume that it's going to be public in some way by accident, inadvertently, or intentionally? And maybe if there's stuff that you don't want anybody to see, you should not expose it to the internet.
I go further than that. Don't type it on the damn keyboard.
Don't put it on the computer. Write it in a paper book. Right?
Yeah.
Is that so much?
You guys are like really wild today.
Well, we had to get there.
What the hell?
No,
well, doesn't that make sense, Sean? I mean, you're not.
I don't do Facebook reason alone.
When I do
Twitter, and I do it for a reason. I do it for crowdsourcing, and I do it for, just exchange hellos and goodbyes with people.
When I worked at Microsoft.
People are stopping to DM. Like, I've been DMing with people recently, and they're like, I'm not, and they'll text me. Because they're like, I don't want it to somehow appear or by mistake.
Anthony Weiner.
Yeah. Yes, I've been having those types of DMs.
Anthony Weiner,
want to know. I want to be friends on Path.
No, her path is tame. It's completely tame. So Spark says that Leo's in our chat room. Leo is doing a good job making excuses, yelling excuses for the indifferent digerati. So I'm not making excuses, but and I care about privacy. I just think that you're kidding yourself, I think it's irresponsible for Nick or somebody to blame Path because they're putting their stuff in a relatively public space. I don't think you can blame Path. You should not be doing that.
I think the techies, like, we assume that everything that goes anywhere that's connected online that has an IP address, it's like we have to assume that it can be tracked and it's public. However, I think the regular general public doesn't want to assume that that's, the only option.
Well, so you're right. That's a good point. So we know, but normal people do not know what they're doing.
And it's not even they don't know, and they feel like we shouldn't just accept that.
But don't you think your grandma is smart enough that if she goes on Path and she sees, and Path requests, can I look through your contacts to see if there are other, and this is what it does. Even before this.
See, they don't look at it as a privacy maybe issue. Some people, they might be like, oh, they're trying to make it more easy for me to use and find my friends.
So she's not thinking, oh, this might expose the Path is going to find out.
I think they should say, warning.
They should.
This means that we are going through this stuff. This could be breaching.
I completely agree.
A breach of privacy.
And they did change that, by the way. And now they do that. And I think that's exactly right. If they made a mistake. They made several mistakes. I'm not saying they didn't. And primarily, which it's about telling people what you're doing in clear English.
Yeah, and people don't understand. You know, somebody made the point that they didn't do this before. They did in a different way. They said we would like to check your contacts. And I'm not even sure when it first came out if they even told you that, by the way. Just by running the app, it would start showing you friends.
Well, then that's wrong.
And
then
remember, that is Dave wrong. Dave Weiner wrote a whole article about this.
So they changed it then.
Well, not really.
Okay. So that's true.
They've been playing a slippery slope with not telling people what they're doing.
Right.
Because it's, if you put up a warning, some people like John won't use it. Right. Mm-hmm. And some people like John will say, no, don't connect with me with my friends.
And you're saying the pressure from investors is to get John. They want everybody.
Viral. Look at this highlight app. This highlight app goes way beyond what Path does. It hooks you up to people that just walk by in the street. The investors love this shit because it's so viral.
Right.
It went through a party that nobody knew about this app in 20 minutes. It was amazing to see the virality of this app, right?
What, John? By John way, is not paying any attention. He's playing with my Galaxy Note. Don't you love that? Isn't it great? Don't you love it?
I'm addicted to it.
I think I love the size.
Yeah, no, well,
and it fits right here. It's just like a, no, it's not heavy.
A ton.
Not heavy. It's great.
All right. I look like a geek.
There is a guy. Let's show a little bit of this.
It's not the size of your phone. It's
when we
what
come
you do
back.
It, right?
When we come back, we're going to talk about this video, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh yeah.
Good afternoon. It's February 7th, 2012. This is for my daughter Hannah, and more importantly, for all her friends on Facebook who thought that her little rebellious post was cute. Ugh. And for all you parents out there that think your, you know, kids don't post bad things on Facebook, well, I want to read you one.
The man who shot his daughter's laptop with hollow points 6 times, coming up in just a little bit. We're going to have a good conversation about this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. We might as well talk about hoaxes on the show.
You think this is a hoax?
I think so.
Do the commercial.
My son has 12 guns. And I have none, so this would never happen in my family.
Oh, my God.
My son might shoot my laptop coming if I up, come near it.
Coming up, Facebook parenting. But first, wow. First, we're going to talk about Squarespace.com. The secret. John has just walked off with my phone. I just want to point that out.
I did not.
Oh, you didn't? You left it there? Good, thank you. Squarespace, the secret behind exceptional websites. When we were in New York, I was there last week doing a live with Kelly. We had dinner with Anthony Casalena and his team at Squarespace. They showed us what Squarespace is up to. Some great stuff. What is he doing? That's great. John is just a little child. I think we need to do some Facebook parenting with him.
Maybe. Shoot his laptop.
I'm glad he doesn't have a gun.
Oh, he's smart. He didn't even bring his own laptop.
No, he doesn't. He uses ours. He's smart. Squarespace, the secret behind exceptional websites. The Anthony and his team are just doing, they're just knocking it out of the park. So Squarespace is hosting, the best hosting ever. You cannot bring a Squarespace site down. It's also the greatest content management software, currently at version 5, but you can get into the version 6 beta. And, if you get a chance, do. This is incredible. Where they're going with Squarespace is truly amazing. Visit Squarespace.com right now. Click that green try it free button. You don't need a credit card to try Squarespace. Just the name of a new site, a password, and an email address. That's it. You've got 2 weeks to use all of the features. They're iOS and Android apps that allow you to post, moderate, see stats, import, and export from all the major blog APIs. Templates that are just gorgeous. Photo galleries, form building, intuitive editing, social integration. This is everything you want in a web host, everything you want in a content management system, and it's all at squarespace.com. Take a look at some of the example sites to give yourself an idea of the kinds of things you could do with Squarespace. One of the things I like about it is that no two sites look alike. Every Squarespace site is unique, as it should be. You don't want your site to look like anybody's site. Here's Dr. Wiles' daily health tip. Now, you better believe Dr. Wiles getting a lot of traffic on this. Of course, it's always up. It's always reliable. It's Squarespace. That's why I love it. I want you to try it right now. Visit squarespace.com. Click that green button. If you decide you want to try more, you can buy it and get a great deal on it. 15% off your new account for 6 months when you use the offer code TWIT2. That's TWIT and the number 2. They've just added 13 new templates. It's 85 new style options, 2 brand new templates. I love this. They now use Google Fonts. So you have 300 fonts fully integrated. The web fonts that, so it means instead of limited to those 4 fonts that everybody's got, you can use the Google web fonts, which is amazing. They have a developer-friendly CSS editor. So if you do CSS, you can completely customize it. They even have classes. I love this. To help people with all levels of experience get more comfortable with Squarespace. If you go to workshops.squarespace.com, you can find out about these classes. I think that's a really great idea. Workshop. Let me get that right. Workshops.squarespace.com. Give it a try. Squarespace.com, the secret behind exceptional website. This is really neat. I didn't even know about this. Getting started with Squarespace coming up. Optimizing, search engine optimization, building a portfolio website, custom domain map, everything you need right here. Love it. Squarespace.com. Use TWIT2 when you buy for 15% off for the next 6 months. I cannot wait to move. I'm going to move. Jeez. I'm going to move my site to a Squarespace as soon as the Squarespace 6 comes
out. Looks like, what does he look like? He looks like somebody that sells cocaine on the corners in Las Vegas or something.
He does.
He's not really a...
It's like a guy named Dieter.
Weird.
So Robert brought his 3D camera. That's pretty cool. But you were at DLD and WEF, World Economic Forum, shooting in 2D?
3D.
And now, do you have to wear anaglyph glasses, the red and green?
No.
Red and blue?
Actually, a few of my... I put up a couple of videos on Friday. A few people have these 3D phones. They have 3D screens now, and they can watch my videos.
Oh, yeah, the Evo 3D.
Yeah.
So on that phone, it's lenticular. Actually, that's what's one of the things that's kind of interesting about that camera is that you can see 3D on the little screen there because it's lenticular.
It does work pretty well. It's amazing.
Does it really? Oh, it looks weird to me.
Well, you don't like 3D.
I don't like 3D.
Why not?
But it's going to be everywhere. Why not? Because it's an artificial, tacky kind of...
Gimmick.
Gimmick. That's the word
I like gimmicks.
It's a gimmick.
It's a gimmick. Well, it's a bit of a gimmick. Do you need to see everything in 3D? Like, would this show need to be in 3D?
You should be in 3D. Hey, the rest of us, it's not.
Now that I got these glasses, I can go on. Flickr's got a bunch of people that shot these blue and...
Anaglyph 3D?
Yeah. Yeah, I should go find one.
You can go.
Those are John's glasses. John owns those glasses. He bought them.
I walk around like this. It's really weird.
Now, John, you don't wear those in the theater, though, right? You have to wear the real D glasses in the theater.
These work.
So he has his own glasses for the red and green stuff he sees on the internet. Shira, did you see Hugo, or do you like 3D movies?
I saw Hugo, but I didn't see it in 3D.
Yes,
that was a mistake.
I was watching a screener at home.
No, I wanted to see it in 2D. I was disappointed. They didn't offer it in 2D.
Even if you add 3D to something, if a story sucks, the story sucks.
That's a good point.
I mean, with Avatar, it was a bit different because the 3D technology was so innovative and advanced that it did, you know, create a new type of movie. And so it deserved, you know, the accolades. And
you know, Titanic and Star Wars Episode One.
Star Wars Episode One. I heard they got like no money at the box office this weekend.
What a surprise! Jar Jar Binks?
Episode One.
Here's why I'm investing in 3D.
In 3D?
Yeah, I bought a $4,000 camera that's 3D.
What kind of money are you making on the side?
Pretty good money.
I guess so.
So let's talk about
selling the cocaine, man.
The Facebook father.
See? Selling the cocaine?
Yeah. So this guy, I cannot bring myself to watch this entire video. I'm sorry. It's just too horrible. Decided to humiliate his daughter in public. She apparently posted something she thought was private on Facebook, but dad and mom saw it somehow. I like how he's smoking a cigarette while he's...
Yeah, it's a part of the whole effect. This is bull crap.
You think this is a phony?
Yeah. I mean, for one thing, why would somebody shoot up a laptop when they could sell it on Craigslist and get $200?
Because he's angry.
And he's angry about this bogus... Who is this guy? Who is his daughter? Where is she? This whole thing is bull.
Yeah.
And why would anybody do this except an idiot?
It sure got me upset.
Yeah, well, it's because it was designed to get you upset.
Oh, that's interesting. So it is fake.
Well, that's what you think so too, right?
It would never happen in my family. My son has.
Yeah, well, it's because your family's armed. So, but it's got nothing to do with whether you think it's fake.
So I'm not going anywhere close to my son's laptop now.
Here's the update. This is the update on Tommy Jordan's Facebook page.
My son's stepdad's a gun dealer.
This gets you a lot of publicity.
Attention media outlets. While we appreciate the interest y'all putting forth to get in touch with us regarding the video, we are not going on your talk show. We are not going to call in your radio show. We are not going to be in your TV miniseries. Some of you think I made an acceptable parenting decision. Others think I did not. However, I can't think of any way myself or my daughter can respond to a media outlet that won't be twisted out of context. The Dallas News TV show already showed that in their brief 5-minute interview with a psychologist. Yeah. So he says, I totally think this is real.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Maybe it was a commercial for his gun shop or something.
Yeah, what?
There's a lot of non-real things that are...
I know, it's true.
There's a lot of weird things
much, actually.
Yeah, a lot of stuff's not real. So you think this guy, this is all...
Even if it is real, you know, come on.
Who cares?
It's bogus.
No, it's done for effect. It's done to get...
I want to see him shoot the... Okay, here it comes. We're going to shoot the laptop now.
You'd think the thing would shatter a little more.
I think the guy's lucky he didn't wing himself with a ricochet.
You could ricochet off this? There's no way. The ball would go right through, right into the ground, right into the dirt.
The first round.
Yeah. soft dirt. You can tell by looking at the scrub brush around.
These are hollow point rounds, by the way. What the hell is a guy doing with hollow point rounds?
He wants to kill police. I don't know.
And a handgun.
I hope he put some earplugs in. Those things are extremely loud when they go off.
And after that comment you made about your mom told me to be sure I put one in there for her. So that was
Louise.
Hey, I have to say something. All right, I'm looking at this guy's YouTube page.
Yeah.
And I guess he's part of the site called Firesteel.com. Because if you look at the videos he's had in the past, like, he's a consistent YouTuber.
So he's selling antivirus software?
Firesteel.com.
Oh, Firesteel.
Firesteel would be guns, wouldn't it?
I mean... Yeah, it just seems like he's gotten, I mean, from this video, obviously, 19 million views. So that was one
Holy
of the biggest
cow. Ones. Use a shotgun, somebody in the
but
chat room
said,
yes, right. If you want to do it, do it right with a shotgun.
Like, all into uploading videos of him shooting stuff. So he obviously knew it was going to get some attention if he uploaded
Come on,
it.
If you're, if you're really a geek, you go on Mythbusters and blow the up.
So... I'm starting to think it is a hoax now. I think from that, Shira, that sounds like it is a hoax.
Well, this guy has 7,000 subscribers. Tommy Jordan is the son, right? Or is it the father? That's where it was uploaded.
I don't know. I think that I don't know. I wish I knew more. I don't know.
Jordan, you see, became frustrated. Yeah, so
he
I guess
has an FAQ.
So it is. Tommy Jordan is the father.
He has an FAQ.
So,
give me a break.
He's from an IT company called Twisted Networks. Yeah, it seems like he uploads videos. Like, this wasn't the first video he uploaded. He's about uploading videos of him shooting. And then he also has a video of him showing people how to mass delete Facebook photos. So he's like...
All right.
By the way, how did he get into his daughter's private Facebook account?
He's an IT guy, he said right at the beginning.
Yeah.
You should know better because I talk like this. I'm obviously working in IT. I dress like this.
Like,
I'm smoking all the time.
Kind of
I'm in IT.
Love-hate relationship with the internet, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. I think, okay. Okay.
His daughter has bigger issues than her laptop.
I thought it was real, and I felt really bad for his daughter.
It
now,
probably is real.
No, I think
he's a bit
John's
of an attention
right.
seeker.
It's an attention seeker. I think you're absolutely right. I'm sorry I gave him any publicity at all. Let's talk about the iPad 3, because we're going to see any minute now. According to the Wall Street Journal.
Then what happens?
Then I'm keeping my Samsung Galaxy Note, and I don't care.
So actually, I've already fixed it.
What'd you do? Fixed it.
Did you take the batteries out?
What'd you do, you son of a gun? I'm going to find it. Oh, you put some stuff on my to-do list.
Oh. How'd you get it?
Light a cigar with a $100 bill on TV. Cut rotten toenail off. Eat more marmot meat. Make bad Super Bowl bet as usual. This is good. I'm going to keep those on there. Right in there with the regular to-do lists. That's pretty funny. Did you add anything to my calendar?
No, I was just working on the
the to-do list was enough. That's pretty funny. Marmot meat, huh?
Mm. Hey, you know what I cooked the other day?
What?
I cooked a corned tongue.
Mm.
Yeah, well, you know, the funny thing is, Roberts, a big corned beef company in San Francisco that makes some of the best brisket.
What is corning? It's salting, right?
No, it's pickling.
Pickling.
It's pickling meat from corn.
What kind
from
of tongue? Beef tongue?
Yeah, big old beef tongue. It was corn.
I'll never forget. I'm actually traumatized by this. When I was a kid, I opened the refrigerator door and there was a tongue in the refrigerator. And it actually looks like a tongue.
Yeah, it's a beef tongue.
This big.
They're big. They're big. Huge. Did you ever have tongue?
No, actually, tongue's quite good.
It's very good.
But
I don't know.
Yeah, you'd like it.
Makes you want to be a vegetarian.
I think, Shira, you would like tongue.
Shira's a vegetarian. She didn't like that kind of stuff.
I'm not a vegetarian.
Would you ever have tongue, Shira?
I have. I mean, I think I have had it. It's just the...
You don't really want to know. That's the kind of thing where you'll eat it if you don't know what it is.
Anyway, corn tongue is a little different than regular tongue.
Yep.
Oh.
Better?
I had it at this restaurant in San Francisco, and then I had to track down somebody corning it so I could do it myself. And I came to the conclusion that I still prefer the brisket. It's a little too soft and mushy. And so you eat this tongue, and it's like, you know.
It's just not for
It's
me.
Like you can actually chew it with your tongue. It's really kind of.
I'm sorry, I'm getting a little nauseous. iPad 3.
Just telling you.
I'm sorry.
You brought up the food aspect of this.
I'm breaking a sweat now. I don't think I feel very well. The iPad 3. Anything to say about this? We'll see it soon, right? Everybody agrees. Wall Street Journal said so. That must make it true.
Yep. It's coming out.
They say there won't be an announcement this month. They'll just do it in March.
Good.
Quad core? No.
I'm getting it.
Higher res screen? Yes.
Are you going to wait in line?
No.
LTE, maybe.
Why would you buy LTE on an iPad?
Yeah, who cares?
Because
you get Wi-Fi.
Yeah, you're going to use Wi-Fi.
Because
anyway,
when you're not within a Wi-Fi, don't you?
No,
wait?
You use your big Samsung phone.
Yeah, clunker.
You turn on Wi-Fi hotspot. Why would you buy wireless on your iPad?
Let me ask the chat room. Do you want LTE on an iPad? What you don't?
Would you pay
you say
extra
not even
for
3G?
It? Would you pay extra?
No,
nothing. Just Wi-Fi. You're right. Nowadays,
no. Look at this.
Look.
One guy, yes.
Nowadays, you know everybody's got hotspotting. That's why.
Right?
Everybody's got a hotspot, right?
Exactly. My family has four
iPads. That's what's changed. Have another option for streaming content.
But here, I guess Robert's point is that we all have phones that have hotspotting now.
Yeah. And I have four iPads.
So you stream through your phone.
I'm going to pay for four separate accounts on.
No, you're right. And that's a lot of money. Verizon? It's $25 a month extra.
Yeah,
right.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah. No, okay. You've convinced me. I want Wi-Fi. You just save me a lot. You save me $120. Thank you.
Cool. Take me to dinner.
I will.
Why don't you take the two of us to dinner? You're supposed to take us over to that place
Cyrus.
Up there.
Cyrus. You want to go to Cyrus, don't you? They have a caviar.
You're making me hungry.
All right, let's talk about my $4,000. Somebody said I can afford to buy you dinner.
Yeah, that's right. You got
I
a
bought
camera.
This on credit, okay?
You bought a 3D. You bought that?
Yeah, he bought it.
You numbnuts. What did you buy that for? First of all, nobody should be buying a camcorder of any kind now, right?
Well, he's got a reason.
Buy a DSLR. Buy the new Nikon D800.
That looks really nice. I'm going to buy the Canon 5D
or the 5D Mark III.
The question is, the D800
it'll be out
overheat like the rest of them.
Why would you buy a camcorder?
Because I have a 5D Mark II.
They don't have the features of a camcorder's got.
I'm going.
Really,
I'll tell you,
this has way better image stabilization.
It's got a lot of
features. It has a way better viewfinder, even if you're shooting 2D on it.
Okay.
And it has way better audio. Look at this. It has 5.1 surround built in the camera. Right. S5 microphones.
Doesn't take
here.
Much to get a laugh with this crowd.
I know. He blows his nose, and the crowd goes crazy. Active Valor was filmed in 5Ds. How about that?
I have a 5D. I love it.
If you
5Ds are good, but if you're a vlogger, it's kind of hard to shoot yourself.
To hold it out there. Well,
right?
Oh, yeah. This is what you need, Shira. This is what you need. You could just... I'm standing outside of Al Capone's vault. This is actually surprisingly light. It's actually probably lighter than my 5D.
I can't even see it from here.
Oh, yeah, this is
it's
so
huge. I'm very excited about this new D800 that...
I'm waiting for the Canon.
You think that they'll match whatever Nikon did with the
D800? They have to.
36 megapixels, 36.3 megapixels. But
what
here's
are
the
we
going to
do with
here's
this?
Here's the thing
what
that
are you
want.
Build a 50 by 60 print for...
No, here's the thing you want. HDMI out of that camera is 422. It's high quality, uncompressed HDMI out of that camera. See, to me, I don't understand why anyone would buy a camcorder at this point. You've got these great lenses. This really is intended to be a camcorder. You're right. The 5D Mark III may very well respond to this.
They have to.
Well, you still can't go live out of the 5Ds or the 7Ds.
You can go live out of that camera.
The 800, you can.
Yeah. The D800, you can go live out of that with 422 video. So it is a super high-quality HD camcorder.
I'm excited for the time where you could go, you could do live, obviously, from your phone, but there you can go live directly from your camera. You don't need to connect it to anything or have a switcher.
Well, what a lot of people do, of course, is they put a hard drive on the back of that, and now you're recording super high quality.
You're
I just think it's crazy to spend money on a camcorder anymore, but maybe not. You're right. It has a better viewfinder.
And also, audio out of the 5Ds and 7Ds is horrible.
Well, what you have to do is
you have something, an external
mic. You get a Beach Tech. Yeah, you get a Beach Tech device that goes on the hot shoe. Yeah, and then, Beach Tech's nice because you can use any microphone. So I'm going to try it. You know what? I'm going to try it. We're going to Norway end of April for Twit Photo. There's a photography festival called the Nordic Light Festival. And we're going to, instead of shooting with our regular camcorders, we're bringing only 5Ds.
That's awesome.
And we're going to shoot the whole thing in 5Ds or maybe Mark IIIs if they're out by then.
The reason people like DSLRs is because of lens choices.
It's
and
lens.
Because you can get a cinematography look.
Exactly.
That you can't get with this camera. But I don't care about that. I'm shooting a lot of startup entrepreneurs, and I need Steadicam. I need, because I'm wobbly.
So that's it. So the stabilization, well, that would
the
make
stabilization
sense.
On this thing rocks. It's even if you shoot only 2D, it's way better. There you go.
John is a little shaky. Let me see if I can find this video that Sandro shot on the
D-800. Gold. Comedy.
It's comedy gold. This is on the Nikon D-800 page. If I scroll down, they have a video somewhere in here.
Michael L.A. says, I don't know enough about video to justify buying good video cameras.
He's probably right.
Yeah. It's true. Absolutely true.
He's probably right.
I've only shot 4,000 videos. So
you shoot a lot of video, but quality is not what you're going for. You're going for...
No.
Value.
Well, it's not like it's going to be value.
Value-oriented.
No.
And all of these, by the way, notice all tripod. All tripod.
Here's what you need, John.
Yeah.
What the heck is that?
Something's about to blow.
Yeah.
This is the video. Actually, there is there's some motion stuff. They're going to do some stuff with the motorcycles where you will see a little bit of CMOS roll, actually. But what you were talking about is the depth of field you get, the richness, the low light. It really does look a lot better. This is all on the D800. I mean, it's cinematography.
Does it overheat like the other one?
It doesn't, apparently. But nobody should be shooting more than 10 minutes at a time anyway, right?
Well, yeah, I guess.
I guess if you're doing live interviews and stuff like that.
Yeah, you got the camera here, you're yakking away for an hour.
Yeah. Now, it's not fair to judge this. Crimson says it's not very sharp. Remember, Crimson, you're watching a highly compressed stream coming out of a... If you look at it, go to the website and take a look at it. I think it looks really good. But again, this is a YouTube video in effect. It's not. Yeah.
If you're talking about sharpness, I was watching snowboarding today.
I'm amazed.
And they're filmed with these $300 GoPro cameras.
Those are incredible.
Or get the contour cameras.
So sure. What did you build your own studio as we did, but you built your own Stranding studio. What kind of cameras? Yeah. Those look like real professional.
Those are studio HD cameras.
Yeah.
So they're not. I mean, it's not like a 5D. Or we use the 5D in the field. But we have, a jib, an HD jib, and two other cameras on tripods.
So we're using consumer-grade Canon Vixia camcorders. This is one of the arguments against Canon releasing on the Mark III anything like the Nikon does, because Canon has a camcorder business. So it could cannibalize their camcorder business. Nikon does not have a camcorder business.
So you like these. These are what?
These are great. $1,500.
And they look good.
They look look at it.
Yeah, no, awesome. It looks good.
I mean,
it's fantastic.
I give you credit for the studio you built. I think it's great. And the way you have your own tripod and everything, I think that's the way to go if you're going to build a digital HD studio. And in the end, this is also, broadcast quality.
How much did you spend on the What's Trending studio?
How much did we spend? I can't say exactly the amount of money.
Go on, Leo says.
We spent $1.2 million.
I thought it was $1.7.
No, I'm kidding. No, it was...
You spent less than that.
It wasn't that expensive if you take a look at how much it costs. I mean, to build... We built it from scratch. It was a loft. There were no walls. There was no, wood floors. We didn't have a control room. We built it from scratch. We spent much less than you did, Leo.
I don't know why we spent so much.
You love this place.
I do love it.
We really spent, a bit over $20,000.
Oh, that's nothing.
Yeah, 20 to 30.
Yeah, we don't have...
Are you kidding?
This is like more than just a studio.
I spent more than that on just the cameras. We bought 30 cameras.
We rent the cameras. We don't own the cameras right now, but we are, I think, going to...
You just did this.
Now that we're continuing for a longer period of time, we're going to invest in buying cameras.
I spent more than that on this Dr. Evil chair.
You Leo just did this to show up the guys who were the executives at ZDTV.
I did, totally. It's basically, I'm living in the past.
You are living in the past, but you just to prove you were right.
I know. We'll see.
They were carrying, he was carrying the network.
I was.
Literally.
I don't think
and
that's unfair.
And they never
to say.
Went to, I'm always surprised by some of these boneheads. But these guys run the studio and they bring in, for example, then all of a sudden they bring in Chris Perillo out of the blue, and who was doing it kind of at the time, even though he still
Call for help. He took over Call for Help.
But he was doing lots of blogging. You were doing blogging too. You and Chris were both the real bloggers that were at the studio.
This is going
and
downhill. I liked how it started, John, but it's really
they
not.
They decided to do their own blog, and they never once asked either Leo or Chris anything about it.
No, they didn't
and they just
know.
Went off in their own direction
they
because
know.
They didn't want to know anything
they
that was really know. Going
That's
on.
Right.
It was unbelievable. They had a bunch of people there. They could have asked for help. They could have.
Larry Wangberg's gone now. It's okay.
It wasn't just him.
Actually, I think all of them are gone now. The hosts live on, which is great. That's what's amazing.
Yep.
Is those of us who created the content are continuing to do that at Revision 3 and here and seen it and making great content. So it was the content that survived.
I mean, we make fun of this. This is an expensive camera.
How much is this?
$3,200 on B&H Photo. But
I
you
just
could
make
put
fun
this,
of it because it's
a camera is going to last you 3 years approximately.
Right, right.
That's about $100 a month for
I know,
a camera.
It's amazing.
It's nothing.
I know.
Right? If you're doing this professionally. And, you know.
Are you going to shoot all your videos from now on in 3D?
You can shoot good quality camera. I've seen people do shows with these GoPros.
Lots
They're
of people.
$300 each.
Yeah.
You get some SD cards, you put it in there, you get a little microphone, and you're in business.
No, in some ways, by building this studio
you know
and spending this much money, we kind of, it is legacy new media. We are now legacy new media. Windows on I know, it's kind of sad.
Should be
Windows
green screen.
On ARM.
It's about your staple. It's about being a staple. Like, that's the thing I think we're seeing now, programming.
Well, we're
online.
Here to stay.
It's not just like a one-off gig or a project you're doing.
Yes.
It's like we're
still the earthquake.
Brands become the
exactly.
staple to the next generation.
Exactly. That's kind of why we did this. We wanted to make a statement. No, we're here.
Yeah.
This is, and I think that's exactly
that's
right.
That's a big deal. I think, like, it's too bad that a lot of people, they look at, you know, web projects and they're like, oh, so what are you doing next? You're
right.
Like, well, what if this was it?
Right.
You know? Like, why would you just start something not to stick around?
Nobody comes really into this studio, looks at it, and says, okay, what are you doing next? I have to say that has at least stopped that conversation. Well, this is nice, but what are you going to do for a living? Anyway, let's talk about Windows on ARM.
Didn't even talk about the iPad.
Well, I was waiting for comments.
Andrew was like,
what
we didn't
about
talk
it?
About the iPad.
Say something, anything.
Double resolution screen.
You think?
Yeah.
I think so. That's what all the rumors say.
Yeah.
Will you run and buy one? Yes.
Absolutely.
Who wouldn't? Would you, Shira?
Yeah, I'm going to buy one because I've been using, I guess, like the iPad 2. I've been using my boyfriend's iPad, so I'm going to buy the new one for myself.
You deserve an iPad for yourself.
You know, you can watch the
Twit. I deserve it for all my hard work.
Yes.
But however, we actually use the Samsung Galaxy Tabs in the studio.
I love those. Do you use them during the show?
Is there anything you don't like?
You know, it's interesting because the Air Force just announced they're going to use iPads for flight manuals. Who is it? Americans doing that in the cockpit. Do you use the Samsung Galaxy Tabs during the show for, like, rundowns and things like that?
Yeah, I use it for some of my questions, my notes. And we give them to the guests, too, if they want to go through some of the stories and go through links, because we don't like when people have laptops in front of them. Because
right.
It just kind of creates a distraction a bit with the audience. It's just, like, even though your show, it's great, it works. For our show, it starts to look...
No, I agree. You're on a couch. You don't want all these people with laptops in their laps. So I think
we want them to be interacting with each other, but
look how tidy and neat this table is. This is what you don't want on What's Trending. We got more crap on this table.
We don't want to copy you. You've already, you know.
I got the crappy table
this looks
franchise.
Good. It looks good. It doesn't look like, you know, it looks like this lived in.
It's lived in. Thank you.
I love sitting on my couch watching the show with Twit running with the Twit.
I think the iPad is huge. I do think it's huge. There's no question about it.
So I thought it was going to be the same size.
Do you think, Shira, it's interesting? No, same size, higher resolution.
Well, you said it was huge, though.
It's going to be big.
It's going to be bigger than the one that
No, it's the
do?
Same size, but it's going to be huge.
It's going to be bigger than the old one?
Oh, absolutely. More people will buy it for sure.
Yeah.
But it'd be but same size.
It still Third needs base. To be light, though. They need to keep it
There's
light.
A lot of people...
Well, you know what? The next laptop's going to be like an Air with a tablet. You're going to be able – that's what I predict Apple's going to do.
I think it's interesting that using Samsung's – do you think, Shira, that Android tablets – they really haven't competed up to now. Although we have – who took the Transformer? Is that around here somewhere?
Yeah, the Primus.
It was here. We had it on the desk because I wanted John to play with that instead of my Galaxy. Anyway, do you think, Shira, that it's interesting that you're using these Samsung's, that Android tablets can compete?
Well, I think there needs to be an alternative. We can't just be in a market where there's only one thing available.
I agree.
And for
Apple,
you know,
Apple
a lot
disagrees.
Of Android fans out there, the Android App Store is really big, and I definitely do think, and you know, Samsung is going to be providing another option in the marketplace, which
right.
we need to have. You know, there's obviously
not if Apple has anything to do with it. They keep suing them. In fact, there was a Apple just asked for an injunction preventing the Galaxy Nexus from being sold in the U.S.
I also think that Samsung's, you know, obviously going to do something interesting. We know it's syncing everything from, you know, their TVs to
that
the
looks
phones
like something
to
about
the
break.
It does look like something about to break, but it's not, I assure you. So this is the Asus Transformer note tablet. It's a
Prime.
It's a Asus Transformer Prime tablet. It's running Ice Cream Sandwich, and it's less than the iPad. It's $450, I think.
$500.
Yeah, it's also cheaper. That's together. A huge thing for more, you know, right. for consumers.
And
right?
then it docks on this keyboard, which turns it into a full laptop. I mean, it's a beautiful laptop.
But sure, if you're price sensitive, you're going to go with one of the Android
Fire.
Tablets that are like $200.
You're going
like,
to get Kindle Fire.
Like the Kindle Fire, right?
Yeah.
But there's a whole bunch of them.
I know a lot of people has. Bought Kindle Fires for their kids because they didn't want to spend $500 on a tablet for their kids, but $200 is you could contemplate it. Isn't that sweet?
This is nice.
This is the first Android tablet I think that's really competitive. Now, I saw a video the other day. Somebody took a Galaxy Nexus phone, used the HDMI cable out of it to attach it to a big screen.
That was me.
Did you do that?
I did that, and I play video games on it.
And then you used a Bluetooth keyboard with it.
Oh, I didn't use a Bluetooth.
But this guy used a Bluetooth keyboard and a Magic Trackpad from Apple.
That's really cool.
And turned it into a desktop, mm-hmm. this phone.
Yeah.
And it, you know what? It's responsive. This thing has dual core 1.4 gigahertz chips in it, the Exynos chip. It's got a gig of RAM. These things are computers, full-fledged computers.
Yeah.
And it's about interface at this point. I think it's very exciting. And I think Android is key to that because Apple is never going to give you as much choice. They're worried about fragmentation.
Yeah.
They're never going to give you the kinds of choices and sizes. You know, Apple's not going to do a 5-inch, 7-inch. They're, you know.
Maybe eventually, but not.
Maybe eventually.
Not
so
not today.
Thank goodness for Android.
The chat room made a couple points that you might have missed.
Nice.
Windows 8.
We're getting to WOA here, yeah.
What do you think about Windows 8?
So we started that conversation. So this was kind of a surprise. We talked a lot about it on Windows Weekly. Right before we did Windows Weekly on Thursday, Steven Sinofsky published a 5,000 or 6,000-word article about Windows on ARM, and it's some very interesting stuff. In a nutshell, what Microsoft has announced is, yes, we're going to port Windows 8 to ARM. There will be a desktop on these ARM tablets, but only available to Microsoft's Office, not available to third-party developers. Third-party developers will have to make Metro apps.
Yep.
It's my suspition that Microsoft is betting the farm on tablet.
And that's pretty clear.
I'm not buying this.
Old Windows apps won't run on this on the new ARM.
They're leaving legacy behind.
Of course not. Yeah.
They're leaving not only even if you could get it to run, they won't let you run because they won't let you use desktop. It has to be Metro.
Got it.
So even if you could port it, it won't. They won't.
You also have to get the apps through the App Store, right?
Right.
There's no going around the App Store. So they're really copying Apple's model and really trying to compete with the tablet.
This is life or death for Microsoft, don't you think, John?
No, I don't think it's life or death, but I think it's a huge mistake.
Couldn't they really shoot themselves in the foot if it doesn't go over?
I think they're doing fine with they're going to have Windows.
Enterprise. They'll be an enterprise.
Yeah. They have $15 billion businesses.
They're essentially an enterprise company who's saying, we really want to stay in consumer.
But they
We're
going to
bet the farm on staying in consumer by going tablet. They're not. I don't think it's going to succeed.
No. It's too late, too little, too late, and too late, and too little.
Depends, and too late.
Depends.
And
I don't know. Moreover. You know, it's still Microsoft.
Well,
there's still a lot of people out there who buy Windows and like Windows.
Nobody's buying any of this stuff. The Windows 8 phones aren't going anywhere.
Here's another interesting thing. They're going to release
I usually argue with you. But
I like the
right.
Windows phone. I think the Nokia 900 is nice.
I have the 800.
Who's got one?
I have one.
Well, it's not out yet, but when it comes out, I think they're nice.
I have the 800, and the 800
is nice.
Beautiful hardware. The apps suck. It's apps.
It is all about apps.
Why did I load for this stupid 3D camera? Why did I load Windows up? It was an app. I have to run Windows to edit
this. What kind of a
video.
Phone do you use, Scoble?
You can guess.
It's an iPhone. He's an iPhone guy.
I'm an iPhone.
And I use one of these. And I have the
Galaxy S2 is great. That's a great phone.
This is the Nexus S.
I give my
Nexus S, okay.
Which has never been scratched. So
that's because
I give my son
wire,
my Galaxy S too.
So it's like I have a Nokia 800 and I bailed out. And the other thing is, but people really like to overlook is that the navigation tool on the Nokia. I tried to find someplace in Oakland. It took me in the wrong area.
You talked about this last time. Yeah, it's crap.
And then this,
Google's got it.
They don't
promote
it enough.
It's gotten to the point where cars are building Google Maps into their nav systems. Yep. Because Google Maps is so much better than NavTech, any of this
right,
stuff.
And when you don't find the place, it says, is this right? Did you do okay? And you just hit no, you gave me the wrong location, which happened to me once in Seattle. And next time, it's fine.
It fixes it.
They really go after
this. You know what I really like? And it does it on this with a turn-by-turn. When you get to where you're going, it turns you into Street View. And you can actually look at the Street View of where you are and see, oh, yeah, I'm here.
Android's way ahead on
It's a little apps. Creepy, actually.
Anything Google does.
So,
by the way, they're coming out with something tomorrow. You don't.
Yeah, we're going to get to that. That's next. But I want to finish WOA.
I don't even know what's on the list.
I don't either. I'm making it up as I go along as well. So the interesting thing about this is the consumer preview, which is probably the last beta of Windows 8, is coming out in just 2 weeks, February 29th, at Mobile World Congress in Barcelona. This is a big cell phone event. This is where Microsoft has decided to basically roll out Windows 8 to the public.
So I have Windows. I'm running Windows 8 Developers Edition, and I'm finding it to be schizophrenic. In fact, I wrote a column called, this is the new metaphor, schizophrenia. Because it bounces you back and forth between the desktop and this stupid Metro thing, and then there's other all this hidden stuff. It's going back and forth and back and forth, and it's just like they don't really – it's like they haven't – I think they should either bring out two versions, completely different, separate, just an all Metro – but this, as opposed to this, we can't really make up our minds. We're not fully confident.
In a way, what they're saying, it sounds to me like, is we're going to bet the farm on Metro, and we're going to have some desktop on the desktops. But because the tablet is really going to be where all the apps are developed for in future, all you're going to be able to get is Metro apps, I think. Yeah. I think that's really what Microsoft's telling its developers.
I like
develop Metro.
You know what? I like a desktop machine with a big bunch of an 8-core device that rips through Photoshop like there's no tomorrow.
Ironically,
with
you're
a bunch of screens.
You're going to have to get it from Apple, it sounds like. It's an interesting shift for Microsoft. You know, in enterprise, they're still going to offer a desktop. They have to.
Maybe not.
You don't think so?
I was with a General Electric executive. They're going all iPad.
Really?
Comcast is going all iPad.
Well, maybe that's the writing on the wall.
Is going all iPad.
Maybe that's what's...
The enterprise is switching. And I talked with the CEO.
Really? Wait a minute. You're telling me the finance office is using iPads? You're telling me the secretaries?
They're going to be switching over to iPad.
How do they type a letter? On an iPad?
Well, first of all, you can get a keyboard. Or this new Kickstarter company showed me this really cool overlay.
Yeah, we had that. We had that here.
Really,
so you're saying that even for desktop computing, they're just going to add a keyboard.
Most people don't do desktop computing. Go to an average office. How many people are like us and use Photoshop and video?
Look at our finance uses QuickBooks and spreadsheets.
It's insanity.
I mean, all right.
For people like that, you can use cloud-based Windows apps. On an iPad.
I guess you're right.
Yeah,
on
if you
iPad.
Don't mind waiting forever.
Yeah, they're using emails.
No, you have
chatting.
Good Wi-Fi now. Wait.
It's not that. I use PayPal. You
guys,
hit
you
the
guys.
Button,
sorry.
And you wait, and you wait, and you wait for the screen to come up. But these cloud apps are too slow.
What's up, Shira?
Hey.
Let's take a break. When we come back.
The chat room's yelling at us for talking over
you
Shira.
You are. I can't hear. We are going to take
a
break. When we
come
back.
In.
That's the problem. It's really hard when we have people in studio like this and somebody's on Skype, Shira, and I apologize.
I know, but I appreciate it. I mean, I'm interested and I'm actually listening to you like I'm an audience member, but I'm
That's
a guest.
Your mistake. Anyway, it's wonderful to have you. What's Trending is going to season two when? Soon?
Wednesday. Is this the ending of the show?
No.
Yeah, bye.
No, I got it. No. In fact,
what's trending.com. Yeah, season two this Wednesday, 10 a.m. till 11 a.m.
Who's your big guest?
YouTube.com/what's trending.
You always have these great guests. Who's going to be your big guest in your first season?
All right, so we're going to have Margaret Cho, the comedian.
Love
who's
her.
Be a blast. Kevin Prayer from G4. We have
Hate
this
him.
Up-and-coming act performer, John West. And then we have a special influencer guest that will be announced shortly.
Awesome.
It's funny. You know, I always try to get in touch. If Steve Martin is listening, I've been trying to get in touch with you people.
Steve's going to be joining us on February 22nd for an hour-long interview.
That's the thing, Leo, is like, you know, it's about getting in touch with him directly because...
He's very shy.
You know, telling publicists that, it's the talk show for the digital age. Yeah. It's really relevant. A lot of influencers go on it. It gets pickup. They just... Right now, don't get it. Like, it's very few, you know, publicists get what that means.
Right. But Steve gets it. You know what? Steve gets it. His book comes out the 21st.
We need to have him on the show.
I'll send him a note.
He's going to be on your show.
Well, I have his private email address, but I can't give that to you.
No, I would never want you to give it to me. You should just say, I have this really lovely girl that has a really cool show, and she's been trying to get you, but your publicist won't let her get through.
I will drop Steve a line. And we are going to have Steve on the show on February 22nd to talk
and
about
And apparently Sev Martin is watching right now.
Sev is watching. Yeah, I love him.
Chat room.
That's his sweetest. No, don't listen to John.
Says Sev.
When we come back, Google has a big announcement tomorrow. And it may be, it may not be what you think it is. We're going to talk about what Google's up to in just a second as we continue with This Week in Tech. John C. Dvorak is here from Channel Dvorak. Robert Scoble, thescobalizer.com, and Shira Lazar from What's Trending. But first, a word from audible.com. I am an audiobook fanatic, as you know. Currently listening to Stephen King's 112263. Highly recommend this. It is not only a great book, really a gripping book about a time traveler who goes back to stop the Kennedy assassination, but a really brilliant performance, just a fantastic performance. But that's one of the things that I love about Audible.com is you're actually listening to a book. You're hearing all the words you'd hear if you were reading it, but you're also hearing it performed. So it comes to life as you're driving in your boring commute or you're working out of the gym, doing all those things that nobody wants to do, and you know, you'd love to be distracted. There's nothing better than an audiobook. Audible.com. Try it right now. I'll tell you what, I can get you two books or two credits. So you can get some of the longer books like Game of Thrones, for instance. The new season on HBO is coming up, The Clash of Kings. If you've not yet read any of the Song of Ice and Fire books, this would be a good book for you to read. The Game of Thrones book is just brilliantly performed by a guy named Roy Dotrice. And I think there's five of these now in the Song of Ice and Fire. This is the first one. HBO did it last year. The next one is coming up, I think, next month. And you better start reading now if you want to be ready for it. So this is two credits. You could do this, or you could get any of the single credit books by going to audible.com/twit2. You'll be signing up for the Platinum account. That's two credits a month. That's the one I'm a member of. And you can pick a book, any book, cancel at any time. You don't pay a penny in the first month, and the book is yours to keep forever. The trick is finding a great book. There's so many of them, it's narrowing it down, actually. Go to audible.com and browse around. Wow, I bet John would like this. The Origins of Political Order from Prehuman Times to the French Revolution. See, there's history, there's biography, there's business, mysteries and thrillers. There's even romance, sci-fi and fantasy. Ooh, Night Reigns, the second installment in the Immortal Guardians series. I love the cover of these books. The covers are great. In Bed with the Devil. You know, you haven't really driven down the highway until you've listened to a romance. I got to play a little bit. Let's just see what this, I don't know what this will sound like. Lorraine Heath.
Chapter 1. London. 1851.
Oh, I'm liking it already.
It was common knowledge that one never spoke of the devil for fear that in so doing, one would attract his ardent attention.
Well, if you want to be in bed with the devil, you're going to have to mention him. So even teens and young adults, I love Audible. You will too. Go to audible.com, take a look, pick a couple of books, and then sign up at audible.com/twit2. Those books are yours for free. Thank you, Audible, for your support, and we really appreciate it. Thank you, more importantly, from my point of view, for all the great books. So Google is, Google has had a little bit of a quiet time. God, they were going crazy for a while last year. Haven't heard much from them in a couple of months. Now we hear that there is a big announcement tomorrow. Where did Google announce this? On their Google Plus page? No. On Facebook.
They don't use Google Plus.
Oh, really? Oh, my God.
Go where the audience is, baby.
I just found that bizarre. So Google, there's a Google TV page. Let me go there right now. There's a Google TV page on Google Plus. They've got one post. They've never used it. But if you
go to hard.
Too hard. If you go to their Facebook page, it says, get ready for Monday. We have some big announcements. Only 83 comments on that. I get more comments if I have a picture of my toe.
Yeah, the one that needs cutting.
Yeah, I don't understand, frankly. Well, anyway, why they posted this on Google, on Facebook. But that's what they did. Yeah. The question is what they're going to announce. Is it a Google TV? We've also heard rumors that they have hardware to compete with Sonos. Now, I love the Sonos system. That's a wireless speaker system. We got them all over the studio. I have them all over my house.
I'm a big fan, too.
Isn't it awesome?
Yeah, I have them, too.
They're not a sponsor. It's driving me crazy. If I could get them to do ads, I would, because I just love these guys. So they're not cheap. They're like $400, and you have, but they're wireless. And you plug one into your internet connection, and the rest use their own private network. And you can listen to us. You can listen to music, all sorts of Pandora, your own collection. Apparently, Google's doing something like this. According to the Wall Street Journal, It'll be marketed under the Google brand. It's a home entertainment system that streams music wirelessly throughout the home. It would likely integrate with Android. In fact, the journal says it's the Google Android Entertainment System. Some say it might be what Google was showing at Google I.O. last year when they showed. Remember they showed you could wave a CD at a near-field communications device and it would know what the music was and automatically populate your library with it without ripping?
That's really cool.
Google is asking the FCC for permission to test a Wi-Fi and Bluetooth-enabled entertainment device in four U.S. cities. What do you think? What do you think they're going to do? Any thoughts?
Well, I'm not sure about this home device. I keep hearing rumors that next month they're going to announce a whole suite of new cloud-based services to compete more with Dropbox.
Yeah, that's the G Drive story. Also, that's another story.
I know of a few others beyond that. Right? They're going to announce a whole suite. I think that's aimed at taking away Microsoft's Oxygen. You know, and
Microsoft. What about Dropbox?
Well, Dropbox. Google really doesn't care. Now it's interesting. Actually, I might even have the video to show you here. In Davos, I was partying with Drew Houston, who runs Dropbox. Right?
Yeah.
That's why I went.
Name
party.
Dropper.
Love Dropbox.
Totally. Here,
use it like crazy.
There we go.
He's actually partying.
He's partying at the piano bar. And guess who he walked off with?
Who?
Who?
Eric Schmidt from Google. You know. I watch all this stuff going on at 2 in the morning in Dallas, right?
Now, there's two possibilities. One, he walked off for Eric to give him the bad news. I'm sorry, son. We're going to put you out of business. The other is Eric saying, hey, we'd like to work.
Well, he already offered once to buy him, didn't he? So I don't know that they care about Dropbox and cutting off Dropbox as their supply. I think they're going after Microsoft still, you know, and they're trying to cut the air supply.
I bought 200 gigabytes on Google because I store my pictures there. I store my videos there. Everything I take on my Android phone automatically goes up
there.
And
the more of these cloud services that Google has, the more defensible Android is, and therefore the less attractive Microsoft's tablets will be when they come out.
What about Apple? Are they going after Apple?
Everybody's going after Apple. Right. Amazon, my friend and I were talking on the way here, and he has a friend at Amazon. Amazon has in its culture now that the only enemy they need to worry about is Apple. So Amazon's going after Apple as a content provider. Google is going after Apple, but really I think Google's going after a few things to try to build defensibility around its business.
You know, Apple actually is now worth more than Google and Microsoft combined?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Who would have thought that a few years ago?
I never would have.
Smart money.
Yeah, if you bought that stock, you'd be happy. They'll probably, some say, hit $500 this week.
It's only a couple bucks away.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Well, what's interesting for me on my end is what I'm seeing is like the future of, you know, what's the future of TV and who's going to be the major player? Is it going to be Google or Apple, right? So, you know, with obviously the YouTube premium channels, that blended into the, you know, Google TV, is that where people are going to be consuming all their content? Or with the Apple TV, you know, possibly they might be investing in original content as well. Yeah. Plus all their partnerships that they're doing.
So on TechMeme right now, there's a story that all the Apple TVs are disappearing from stores. So that the rumors are, oh, that means there's a new Apple TV coming out with the iPad 3, which totally makes sense. And I've been hearing this rumor for now at least a year that Apple has a big-ass TV announcement coming with a lot of content deals. That's going to change how we look at watching TV on our devices.
So, Leo, you're the only one sitting here that actually runs a studio and absolutely runs a...
Well, sure runs a studio.
Well, she does, but she's... But
yeah,
you're,
John, what
well,
the...
Well, she has a show.
I have a studio now, too.
And you have a show or two or whatever.
Leo has a bunch of shows.
He has 30 shows, which you have to admit sure is a lot.
I'm just the beginning of my empire. Okay?
Well, whatever the case, what are you going to do about these changes? How does it affect you? And I'll ask you too, Shira. I mean, what is going to happen?
What do you
mean,
what am I going to do?
Well, I mean, you're right now.
Do I have to do something?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Quick, do something.
You have to strategize. No. What are you thinking?
I get what you're saying, John.
How is it going to impact me?
Exactly.
I'm not too worried because I make content, right? Yeah. Don't you think Shira and Robert too and John too, we all make content that we're in the catbird seat. These companies are talking about distribution. They're talking about platforms. But what sits on platforms? What sits on distribution? It's content. They still will need us.
They'll need somebody. Robots from India.
What we think about on our end is like what types of deals. I mean, exclusivity, obviously, at this point, because these platforms are so new, it's like you don't know who's going to be the leader. Do you want to be exclusive to one right now? I mean, that's not something you want necessarily, unless possibly they're investing in your content. Right now, you're seeing a lot of these YouTube premium channels. Google or YouTube has an 18-month exclusivity. So that programming, that content can't be viewed anywhere else. And that's a pretty big deal. So I think we're going to see a lot of those different partnerships come up also possibly with Apple.
I have
and
to say, though.
Changes. And then it also, in terms of the way you interact with it, it's like I think the future of content is, can I have an app where if I'm watching on the Apple TV or the Google TV, how do you take advantage of all these tools to make the video more social and more interesting and engaging?
Well, I'm hoping they will give us tools to do that. But I do have to admit, one thing that concerns me, we tried to, for instance, get on. Are you on YouTube Live?
Us? Yes. We're going to be, this season.
So we talked to them.
We were just on YouTube and live stream, and now we're going to be on YouTube Live.
I would love to be on YouTube Live. We talked to them. They said, well, you could be on it, but you can't have any ads.
But you can't have any ads?
Yeah.
What good does that do?
We'd have to strip out our ads, and they would provide the advertising. Well, I'm not going to do that.
Of course not.
Well, no, you could. Well,
do you have ads? Are you going to take the ads out of your content to be on YouTube Live?
Well, no, typically, the way it works on YouTube, when we did have,
YouTube's different than YouTube Live.
You just can't do the pre-roll. You can't click on in the options, include advertising, because you already have advertising.
No, but this is different from YouTube Live. Now, maybe you haven't talked to them about what they want, but.
Yeah.
On YouTube Live, which would mean that they would be in, for instance, broadcasting this show as we do it live on YouTube. I would love that because bandwidth is expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But they said, yeah, we'll do that, but you have to strip out your ads. And I said, well, you're going to have CNN do the same thing? They said, yeah, everybody has to strip out their ads.
Hmm.
So they're not stripping your ads? I said, maybe we talked to an idiot. I think we were talking to an idiot.
I'll hook you up with the right people.
We've been hooked up with people. Every time I talk to the people, they say, you can't run ads. And I say, but I can't. That's how I monetize. We'll monetize with our ads. But your ads are 50 cents. I can't.
I think definitely what we're going to see is right now there's going to be some issues between the people that, are doing their own ad deals and then what YouTube wants people to do so that they can make their platform more valuable to them. So, I mean, in the end, I would assume that they just want more people using it. And
no, they don't. They want live from there. That's the problem. In my opinion, that's the problem is what they want to do is basically own the content.
But Leo, your ads are
another content scam.
Right. That's why I can't do it. What would we?
Well, they don't
what
want
would
to
happen?
Own the content.
Go
they
black?
Just want to be monetizing the content,
right?
Yeah,
they want us to give them the content for free so they can monetize it
and give you 50 cents
and give me 50 cents.
Here's some things to watch over the next month. I already have access to YouTube Live through the Google Hangout feature. They don't give me the full live yet. That will change over the next month, I think. Google is going to make a big push on live and give live to everybody through Google
Great.
Hangouts.
And we'll do it through Hangouts.
That's one way. Watch what's happening with cloud-based video editing. There's a bunch.
Google already has announced they're going to let you do that on YouTube. You can edit videos on YouTube.
They already do that, but there's. I just interviewed a startup that has way better professional-level video editing in the cloud.
Now, why would I want to do that?
Yes, isn't it slow to get up and back? And oh, my God.
It's faster, actually, because first of all, you just upload the video, and then you can have people remotely editing your videos and cutting it together. But you can have collaborative features that you can't do today on Final Cut Pro. If you're editing Final Cut Pro, you have the only access to that content. If you're editing up in the cloud, John and I could help you edit your show, right? And there's newer
stuff. That'd actually be great for us because we would love to crowdsource our editing and save money on editors.
So watch for them to do a lot of stuff with video. They know that they're in a hole against Facebook and Apple, and they're going to use their Hangout feature to bring this stuff to a lot of people.
We already do. Trey Ratcliffe does a great photo Hangout, which we broadcast Mondays at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern. In fact, you should watch it if you're into it. I mean, tomorrow, some very big name guests. I'm going to be on it, but there's somebody I think we're going to have on it that's going to be huge.
Who?
Awesome.
I can't tell you.
Come on.
No, I can't.
Sure you can.
But, watch. 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern tomorrow, Monday. But that's a Google Hangout. Automatically goes to YouTube. Yeah. So we are, in fact, using Google streaming. We haven't put ads in it, though, and I'm wondering if we put ads in it, what happened. Anyway. I'll find out.
Do it.
Hey, let's find out, by the way, Tom Merritt's just right over there in the newsroom. He's got something called The Week Ahead. Tom Merritt for TNT. What's coming up this week?
Hey, thanks, Leo. I won't be around this week, but here are a couple of things that Sarah and I, as will be keeping an eye on.
That's wrong. He wasn't here last week. That's last week's. Do you have this week's?
Wait a minute.
A little bit.
Tom, you went to Hawaii last week. Can you tell us what's coming up this week?
I was given an incorrect one.
All right, so something great's going to happen this week. And you know what? If it does, you will want to find out about it every Monday through Friday, 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern time. Tech News Today. Tom Merritt, Aya Zakhtar, and Sarah Lane. And Tom will be here this week. Now, I want to end up with a very funny bit. We have to do this in every show so that YouTube will ban the show. We just like to do this. We just love to get banned by NBC and the other guys. Did you watch Saturday Night Live? No, nobody does, because it's a crappy show.
I watched the clips. It's always good fun to watch the clips.
This is why NBC should really be thanking us, because we are driving traffic to Saturday Night Live, right? Yeah. Did you see their funny send-up on Verizon last night? It was very good.
Well, show it.
Well, before I do, I want to thank Shira Lazar for being here. Shira is at whatstrending.com Wednesday. Wednesday, folks, you gotta watch. It's gonna be a lot of fun. Margaret Cho.
Kevin Pereira, youtube.com/whatstrending, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, at What's Trending on Twitter. Check it out.
And sure, you're the greatest. And please, next time, just come up here and I'll get...
I need to get on my private jet.
Yeah, would you? just come on up here. I'll boot these guys.
I need to go to the Valley more. I'm missing you guys.
Yeah. That's what I call United, too. My private jet.
United Airlines. Robert Scobles does do a lot of traveling, but you can catch him at Scobalizer.com. He's also, of course, at Rackspace.com/impact. And you do how many videos a week do you do with us startups?
Average one a day, sometimes two.
It's great. You and Rocky just knocking it out of the park with great stuff.
Thank you.
It was so much fun. I think last time I saw you was Paris at Le Web.
Yeah.
We're going to steal that method, because that was much better than what we were doing. We had a studio, and you were just out there talking to people. You got everybody. It was great. Nice job. You're going to a South By with this helmet?
Yep. So you'll see me on the startup bus going from San Francisco to Los Angeles.
See you with that helmet on.
So there's how many startup buses?
There's 10 buses from around the country.
So the idea is you get a bunch of young people on a bus creating the next big thing, and they create the startup as they drive to Austin.
Yeah.
And then they present?
They present, and they there's a contest for the best startup that's created on these buses.
So it's kind of like almost like the hackathons, but it's on a bus.
It's totally a hackathon on a bus.
Oh, that sounds fun. What team are you going with?
San Francisco's team.
And who
started that?
Elias, and there was a couple of guys who started it a couple of years ago, and they had,
I think,
two or three buses, and it's going nuts now. They had one in Europe at Paris, and the startups were actually pretty interesting. I saw a couple of things that I used. So it's
fantastic. Great to have you, Robert. I've known Robert since 1991.
Something like that.
So this is our 20th anniversary.
We're getting old.
Good friend and a nice hat. I appreciate that. That's really cool.
It's not really giving it to you,
No, any more than I'm giving you my Galaxy Note. That's John C. Dvorak.
I'll trade.
I'm telling you. You think this is too big until you start using it, and then you cannot use any other phone. I'm not kidding. It's just like that, only big.
Yeah.
Your phone is so little, John.
But it's never been scratched. And I've...
And it fits in your pocket.
John C. Dvorak is always, I've known you the same amount of time. We're in our 20th anniversary. Actually, I met you in 1989 or 1988.
Yeah, something. We're back even further.
Yeah.
Back in the 60s.
We were hanging out in the free speech movement at Berkeley.
Throwing rocks.
I think you and I met when you came on my radio show on KNBR.
That's right,
when
you were still doing a political show.
Yeah.
Yeah. The classic.
Yeah. It's so nice to see you.
Do you remember being at the John Dvorak party at Comdex?
He never invited me to his
party. We had a bunch of these parties. But that's because there were no invites. That was the gimmick.
I never found it.
Well,
that's the problem.
It was at the Hard Rock, was it?
Different place every year. Was you and Will Hurst would host this.
And Purnell.
And Jerry Purnell.
Yeah.
And these were classic, famous parties.
Oh, Bill Gates was dancing with some general.
You know, Shelley Adelson now is one of the richest men in the world.
He had sponsored a number of the parties we did in the Sands.
He was, at the time, he owned Comdex, but he was just a regular millionaire. And now he's literally, and mostly because he opened all these casinos in Macau, which are basically
cash cows.
Right,
that's where all the money is, yeah.
And,
cash Macaus.
Cash Macaus. And Shelley is like, he's like bankrolling the Republican Party.
He's bankrolling Gingrich.
Newt Gingrich, yeah. It's very interesting.
Yeah, the times change.
Thank you. Oh, go ahead, Sharon.
I found the video, actually.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, do you wonder what's going up, going on next week? Tom Merritt will tell us.
Hey, thanks, Leo. Here's a look at some of the things we'll be covering on Tech News Today in the week ahead. Coming up on Monday, February 13th, the HP Global Partner Conference kicks off. We'll see if their business casual attire brings us any news. Also on that day, the European Union set to decide on the Google-Motorola merger, at least in that part of the world. Tuesday, February 14th, Valentine's Day, is also Zynga Earnings Day. Wednesday, February 15th, YouTube celebrates its birthday. And Friday, February 17th, HP's Envy Spectre ships. Ooh. All that and more coming up on Tech News Today. John, watch you out.
We blew him up. Sorry, you can't
Very
talk to
funny.
Him. So we actually had that HP Spectre on Live with Kelly. I don't get it. It's big. It's heavy. It is not my first choice in an Ultra Mobile. Although I do love the Asus? What do they call
the
that?
The Ultra.
The Zen. Ultrabook Zen, yeah. All right.
What is this thing?
Enough delay. That's the Transformer Prime. That's a Android tablet with a keyboard. Yeah. And they have a Zen, which is basically a MacBook Air clone. Is that a 15-inch MacBook Air?
Mm-hmm. No.
Wow. I just was watching Twit, and it's very odd, but somehow it looks like it's a giant MacBook Air. How did Scoble get one? All right, so this was Saturday Night Live last night. I think a very apt send-up of the confusion people face in the smartphone marketplace. Watch this.
You know, I've been hearing a lot about Verizon's new 4G LTE.
Well, you should be. It's Verizon's fastest, most reliable 4G network. With 4G LTE, you'll get speeds up to 10 times faster than 3G. So, what does that mean? Well, let's say you've got the new HTC Thunderbolt, or even the LG Vortex. You can hook up your HTC or your LG to your 4G LTE, and you'll have Verizon's 4G LTE in over 190 cities and 118 airports. So it's faster? Well, let's say you've got the new Droid Razr by Motorola, or the HTC Rezem, or even the Samsung Galaxy Nexus. You're talking 4G LTE on almost our entire 3G footprint. One song, 4 seconds.
The song is 4 seconds?
One movie, 1 hour.
Download?
A 10-megabyte PowerPoint presentation in 15 seconds.
I really don't know what that means.
Are you a small business owner?
No, I live off a settlement.
You're a Native American.
Not on a settlement, off a settlement. I got clicked by City Bus.
Got it. Well, let's say you were starting a small business and you want to run the entire business from your smartphone.
Oh, I wouldn't want to do that.
Like your Droid Razr, your HTC Rezem, or even your Samsung Galaxy Nexus.
That sounds terrible.
Here's your 3G network.
What?
Put it this way. If you want 4G LTE, then you have to buy a Droid Bionic, or a Samsung Stratus, or a Panther Breaker, or a Compact Mini Netbook, or the Droid Sideboard Tablet.
And what if I drop it in the toilet?
It breaks immediately.
Verizon. It's an old person's nightmare.
Verizon, it's an old person's nightmare. That kind of says it all. Thank you all for being here. We do this show every Sunday afternoon, right after the Tech Guy show at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. That is, I think, what, I don't know. 3 p.m. plus 12 is 2300 UTC. Is that right? I don't know. In the middle of the night, just watch anytime, and you'll get great stuff at twit.tv. But if you miss it, you can always download the show after the fact, or do me a favor, subscribe to the audio or video version, and you'll get it every week automatically. We're on iTunes and everywhere else. You can get iPads, iPods, iTunes,
everything.
Podcasts, whatever this is. Legacy New Media. That's what it is.
What
Thanks
are.
For joining us. We'll see you next week. Another Twit is in the can.
It's amazing.